participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Can you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
You're up next. It's 37 minutes after the hour, and you're on next. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
All right, wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, by all means. The gentleman is turning his radio down, and he is rejoining us in... Are you there?
Yes, yep. I'm here.
Okay. I can still hear your radio in the background.
The what?
I can still hear your radio in the background.
Okay.
You'll have to turn it off.
Okay, I'll turn it off.
Okay, great. So, we are... Is it off now?
Yes, it is.
Okay, great.
Yes, what is your name? I've never heard you before.
Oh, my name is Hugh. Hugh Hamilton.
Oh, that's great, because you have a lot of fans that listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, boy. Good afternoon, Talkback. It's going to be one of those afternoons, is it? I'm game for this.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in big company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Alan Limewine is not available right now. If you haven't received your prize, stand over and kiss your ass goodbye. Half off from Infinity Radio.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
They're about to... Oh, schools are out of control. Oh, they're out of control. We need prayer in the schools. We don't need prayer in schools. We need the tall salad man in school. That'll straighten the kids out. Hey, Jimmy, you got a D. You know what you got to do? No! No! I don't want to talk to salad. I don't want to talk to salad. I'm a Reed. I'm a Larry Reed.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
I'm Rob. I'm with the Don and Mike Show, and I was wondering if you had a message for Don and Mike.
Stay healthy, be good, be kind to your neighbors. Try to follow the golden rule. And stop. Stop this string of robberies. I think it's uncalled for that you haven't been caught. I think paying off the police has been terrible. I think it's inexcusable. And also, I would suggest you marry more. Of course I will. Here, I'm signing a book that G. Gordon Liddy.
Outstanding.
Okay,
what will you write?
Can you read? This is for John and Mike.
Huge fan.
She doesn't like that. She's
never seen you, Tom.
Anyway, give my best to Don and Mike and remind him of the time I took over their show.
Well, indeed. What's the name of your book, sir?
The name of the book is Future Talk. Larry King, Conversations About Tomorrow. Don and Mike wouldn't read it because it requires intelligence.
Go F yourself, douchebag.
I want to do something meaningful with my life, Maury. I have deeper thoughts on my mind. The other day, I was thinking about volunteering to help teach underprivileged children to learn how to read. And just thinking about it was the most rewarding experience I've ever had.
Derek, I don't think you're cut out for that kind of thing.
I mean, maybe I could even have my own institute. We could call it the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read. Good.
Just remember what your old pal Bozo always says. Joe. Keep laughing.
Line 1 is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press 1 to leave your message now.
And that night was my son's birthday party. My wife elects the priest. He's always at the house.
Hey, Tony.
I don't.
You like Fremen Glaze?
Hey, you bless it, I'll eat it.
She's not coming.
Who?
Grandma just called. Started crying and hung up.
Need to focus on life.
No, your mother is tougher than you think. So what, no f***ing D, you know?
Hey!
Don and Mike, you know, I heard you were having a party, and you're trying to get me to go, but I'm not going to go if there's no f***ing Dee Dee, because, you know, it's just not going to happen. Thank you very much.
I have not been notified yet about this investigation. Mr. Speaker, and he just left this floor, and I asked him to say he has handled this situation as a disgrace. As a disgrace.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
There you go.
Oh,
I say welcome. Hi, baby.
Rob, we didn't need the visual aids.
I'm sorry.
And I don't mean Rob gave us AIDS in our eyes.
No, no.
Jesus. Rob's holding up pictures now.
Yes, he is.
Based on a true story, a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and his soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hello, la la la.
La la la.
And all the ships at sea. Hey, flip on the autopilot, because here's Don Geronimo and Mike Comera.
Yeah. Thank you, Robbie. Hi, thank you for listening to this edition of the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Which is today nationally syndicated. You can call us from any station you're hearing us on.
Good.
Oh, it's a Monday. August 4th.
Right.
And the phone number for all those stations carrying the show, 877-365-3636. Get us in Canada while you can.
Mm-hmm.
800-636-1067. And now here's the number that you know will always work. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Yeah, thank you, Buzz. I'm out. That's it.
Is anyone listening?
Hey, what happened?
Shut up. Did you wash the ass today?
Someone call for a doctor?
That's it. We're out of here. Good night.
You've been great. Stand by for the Little River Band. So, and Alicia Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, everybody. Before we start the show, let's see. Gosh, so many directions to go in. So many. Kobe, the lactating dancer, Saddam's daughters,
mm-hmm.
Ben, J-Lo, yeah. Flop, my weekend. Let's talk about tomorrow. Let's look forward, shall we?
Yes.
Let's all look into our balls. Into our big crystal balls. Buzz actually looked down at his crystal ball.
You said, hey.
Now, here's the deal. Every day, I come in here, and we get this list, which we generally just discard, that has, celebrity birthdays. Like, who cares? The biggest name I can find is, there's a few today. Roger Clemens.
Mm-hmm. Boo!
Boo! Billy Bob Thornton, who wants to get back with Angelina Jolie.
Sure.
Yeah, they deserve each other.
I think they do. Yeah.
And Biz Markie.
Okay.
But also on this list.
I said home.
Also on this list, you've got. No, I don't think that was Biz Markie.
That wasn't him?
No, Biz Markie didn't do the Humpty Dance. Biz Markie did.
Didn't he do Oh Baby You, You Got What I Need? Is that Biz Markie?
Biz Markie only had one song, right?
Correct. So, Oh Baby You.
So also.
Oh Baby You.
We got this stuff on this day. The movie Superfly was released.
Right. Blah, blah, blah.
Goes on and on. The process of making champagne was discovered by Dom Perignon. Oh. Then you get to August.
Yes.
And all the things that August is.
That almost sounds like a poem.
August, among other things, among National Ice Cream Month, among National Peaches Month,
yes.
Among National Handshake Month, August is also Baked Beans Month.
Baked Beans Month.
Which brings us to this solicit. Tomorrow on this show, on this stage, for the first 10 guys and the first 10 girls, show up, bring your own baked beans, eat them here in front of us.
Yes.
Then retire to a back room where you will be monitored for approximately 45 minutes. Then come in and just fart your brains out. And we'll have $500 for the best fart for both male and female contestants. Is this length? Or is it all the quality?
It's subjective. Like all of our contests, it's subjective. We'll each be voting on what we like about the farts.
Well, you know, quite frankly, I would really appreciate a loud, sustained, great fart with minimal odor. That's what I'm gonna grade.
Winner.
And me?
I'm sorry.
I know. Odor does count for me.
Oh.
Now, fortunately, I'm on the other side of the console.
I know you are.
A lot of times, you know, south wind prevailing, I get the odor over here.
Well, I'm just telling everybody, bring in the citrus spray.
Now, we're going to take 10 guys and 10 girls.
Very good.
And we've got some money to give away. So we'll have $500 for the best fart from a guy.
All right.
$500 for the best fart from a girl.
Wow.
And maybe, if 20 people show up, we get 10 guys and 10 girls. Maybe $500 for the most unusual fart.
Very good.
Or the funniest fart. Or, you know, the most creative fart. But you must bring your own baked beans.
Yeah, we're not going to go scurrying around buying baked beans. And besides, you might have a personal preference.
And girls, of course, as always, extra credit if you eat your baked beans and then fart topless.
There you go.
Now, we're going to start this at this time tomorrow, which is why I'm mentioning this right now. That tomorrow, at the very top of the show, will be when hopefully all of you, you know, people that live in downtown Dumbass will be right here in our lobby waiting to come in and eat your baked beans. And then we'll go on and do the show for a little while, and then we'll bring you in. We've actually consulted with a doctor.
Someone called for a doctor?
About 45 minutes.
Is the normal incubation period?
45 minutes from mouth to ass.
Especially on an empty stomach, that would be true.
And it's usually not the it's not usually the amount of baked beans you eat.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right amount, because you can almost do too much.
Oh, yes.
You don't want to do too much.
No,
you want to get the right amount to
find
create the right amount of... Now, will they be able to eat anything besides the baked beans?
Negative. Now, who's the... And this is where we got some discussion earlier today. Well, what if someone makes their own concoction and puts a lot of stuff in? No, you just have to bring in
right
a can or two cans.
That we verify. You can't bring in a bowl full of baked beans.
Correct. You just got to... Hold on. Says on the screen, our engineer's on the phone.
Huh.
And he's been drinking.
Wendell?
Yeah. Hey, Wendell.
Hey, buddies.
Hey.
How are you?
What's happening?
How you doing, Wendell?
I've been better.
What's going on, man?
Mike, your crap detector was set way too high on Friday.
My crap detector was set way too high?
When that girl called in?
Yeah, my agenda caller?
Yeah.
She's a friend of mine.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Jen's a good girl.
And, yeah, but you know, but Wendell, here's the deal. I thought that she was, you know, maybe trying to torpedo you, and I wanted to nip it in the bud.
I thank you for watching my back. I really do.
No problem.
Oh, my.
That is so cool of you.
That's good. That's good, Wendell.
Wendell, would you rather have this conversation off the air?
Probably.
Okay. All right. We'll honor that.
I think so. Well, hold on. Hold on, please. Hold on. We'll see. Somebody.
Is this a scheduled day off?
I don't know.
I think so. Mondays? Yeah,
good.
I think so.
I don't know.
Good, good.
Somebody,
hey, man.
Somebody pick up the phone. So
you want me to talk to him?
No. I mean, not you, so you and I can talk.
He's
so
a good guy.
Pick up the phone. Somebody pick him up. Joe, pick up the phone. Pick up line six. Tell Wendell. There you go. That's a binge, ladies and gentlemen. That's a binge. All right, that's our engineer, Wendell Hall.
Yes.
Just checking in. Drunk at 3:13 on a Monday. On a good-looking Monday.
Hey, I've been drunk at 3:13 on a Monday before.
So have I, but not when I've been here. And he's not here.
He's not here.
So more power.
That's really the whole deal.
Yeah. You know.
And I guess we'll have to do an off-air investigation as to whether he's on duty today or not.
When you spoke with me yesterday at the ball game, I was probably
a little tipsy
at that at that point.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
Yes.
Hi. I wanted to talk to you about the baked bean eating contest. I know you said you consulted with a doctor, but most humans have 6-foot-long intestines, and there's no way that 45 minutes after you eat something that you would be expelling gas out of your
mouth. Rob, I can't hear. What is she saying?
Hold on. Here is Dr. Charles Broyhill.
Yeah, I'm no doctor, but aren't they longer than 6 feet? I can eat fruit and bacon and potatoes at 8 in the morning and be farting by 8:20.
And Rob is my witness as for Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I used to share an office with Charlie. And you could set a clock by it. Don't let this child drink milk.
Yeah, because it has nothing to do...
Or take a deep breath.
It has nothing to do with the length
and
of
honey,
your intestines.
You have much more than 6 feet of intestine.
But it has nothing to do with the length. It has everything to do with the gas that's produced within the intestine. Right.
And what would you know about farting? You're a girl.
Okay, good day to you, ma'am.
I said good day.
I said good day.
And if anybody knows that, you can eat, if it's a particular food that gets you going, you get going right after you have it.
Oh, boy. She's going to be pissed. But I'm going to tell you, my wife caught one yesterday.
Oh, she hates it when you talk about that.
Yeah. And not a gigantic one. It was just like a, like that. Just sit down on the deck. And she just looked at it and she went, oops.
Yeah, like most girls
yeah,
do. You
like,
know.
Yeah, right. Like you
ooh,
never.
What
like,
was that? Where'd that come from?
Like you never do that, honey. So, listen, tomorrow, bring your own beans.
In a can. They can't be opened.
Because it's Baked Bean Month. Baked Beans Month.
Now will we have a microwave here. So, whether you want to eat them warm.
We can warm them up if you want to.
Uh-huh.
Whatever.
We will have the facility.
Whatever makes your bowels the happiest.
If you want them to be warmed, please bring a microwave-safe bowl.
Ah.
And make sure you're here. Let me see. We have 10 guys and 10 girls that are ready to take into this contest. Hello, Brian.
Yeah, hey, Don, Mike, how you guys doing today?
We're doing great, thanks.
Hey, listen, I know personally if I eat something specific within about eight hours or so, I know that I start rupturing a pretty good gas.
I know where you're going here with this, that, of course, anybody could eat anything earlier in the day or, you know, right before they got here. What are we going to do?
We have no control over that.
It's not CSI.
I know.
We can't cut their stomach open like on CSI to see what they've ingested.
And let's be honest, this is all about performance, and I have no problem with anybody stacking the deck.
Sure. If I was able to, I would love to join in on that one.
Yeah, right.
Performance enhancers, Mike, that's what they're called.
Performance enhancers could be an early morning breakfast of a tuna fish omelet.
You know, you're creatine for the colon. That's what I'm saying. Thank you.
Okay, guys.
See you. Bye-bye.
No, don't worry about it. It's a fun radio show.
Yeah. Everybody should just chill out and remember, it's just a fun radio show.
Yeah, and in the event that you get obsessive, you know, if you're playing this game and you get really, like, hung up with rules and stuff, you're an idiot.
It's just people coming down and eating baked beans
that's
and then
simple.
Farting into the microphone and
right.
us.
I, for one, would tell you that baked beans, while they are always... They've always been known, and I think really unfairly so, as the number one fart producer. I think probably in this group of men that we have here at the station, we could tell you that there are a variety of foodstuffs that would cause that. Charlie Broyhill was just mentioning some.
Let me quote the Bible. As you know, I'm a student of the Bible.
I
have it memorized.
Biblical scholar, Don. Don't sell yourself short, please.
And I am also fanatical about modern dance. But let me tell you that on page... 38 of the Bible.
Yes, 38.
Page 38 of the Bible, right near the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
And then God said, beans, the magical fruit, the more you eat, the more you toot.
And because it's out of the Bible, I know you base everything on this show.
It's got to be true.
It's got to be true. Right.
It's got to be true. It's in the Bible. You know,
when it comes to breaking when you are a creationist.
Tell us Don and Mike show.
Hey, how's it going?
But I also believe in the Big Bang Theory.
I understand. Well, which is kind of interrelated.
Hello there.
Yeah, I was just wondering, why does it have to be beans? Could it be like some good chili or something?
Why does it have to be beans? Well, okay, Mike, this would be one of the idiot callers you just referred to.
Yeah, here's somebody who's obsessing on the rules.
Because it's National Baked Bean Month. It's not National Chili Month.
Right. And as Don mentioned before, what you eat before, the day before, it doesn't matter. But when you come down here, you're eating baked beans.
Why is this the only radio show in the world
that has idiots call up and question our rules?
And granted, I don't listen to every radio show in the world. And also granted, it's my own fault for taking the call when I see it up on the screen. But really, why would we announce this contest? And why would someone call specifically to say, does it have to be beans? It's a baked bean contest because of some stupid baked bean month.
Right. It's like someone getting on stage on The Price is Right and arguing the rules with Bob Barker. You mm-hmm. just don't see it happen.
Don't do that.
You need to accept what's laid out for you.
Listen, right. you're going to like it. You know, people eating beans or whatever they choose to before they come here, you're going to have 20 people, 10 guys, 10 girls, farting their brains out tomorrow.
And I offer to you, sir, what's wrong with you?
Hello? Waiting.
What's wrong with you?
Waiting on you, sweetheart. Still waiting.
Tired of waiting.
Tired of waiting, tired of waiting, tired of waiting for you. Hello, Don and Mike. Thank you. Rolling Stones, everybody.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
You say goodbye, and I say hello. Don and Mike. Whoops. Just lost that one. Lost another great one.
I'm sure.
You get extra credit if you crap your pants.
Please. Now look. Now come on now.
Please, everybody, leave the drive into us. Just show up tomorrow. Mm-hmm. 10 guys, 10 gals, eat your beans, come in and fart.
Yeah, and if you do, and the aforementioned crapping of the pants, count on perhaps a nice right hand to the jaw.
It'll be, trust me, it'll be a party. You're going to want to listen to the show tomorrow. You're going to want to come down, win the $500 for the guys or the girls, or for the most intriguing fart.
Anybody can do that last thing.
Don't I know? Kind of a perfected art, Mike. And might I say, the world's number two, and pun intended, I'm looking at him right now.
We've discussed that on the air before.
Yeah. Sure. How many times you had to toss a pair of underpants? Boy, and how many pairs of underpants do you think Ben Affleck is tossing this weekend? I love the fact that Giggly is just an absolutely, there's no way, it's a total bomb.
I think they're getting exactly what they deserve for being so deluded and believing all their own press.
It's just so great, and I think most people would agree that Jennifer Lopez is talented, and okay, Ben Affleck as well. He is Ben Affleck.
No, he's Matt Damon's friend.
Yeah,
right.
But you know, he's okay in some movies. He was okay in Daredevil. He was okay in that movie he did with Sam Jackson, the one about the guy that runs Changing Lanes.
Right.
He was okay, I guess, in Dogma.
Right.
You know, he's okay. He's not Matt Damon, but he's Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay. But the thing is, because they paraded themselves around and went on Dateline and you know, Ben and Jen, the
America's
story,
dream couple.
Yeah, that mm-hmm. you had to know that it was going to fail, even if it was the best movie ever. People are so overloaded with this. And Buzz, I know you had this on the news last week that we got the tabloid today, mm-hmm. you know, that has on the cover, you know, Ben Affleck spotted at Titty Bar.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, it's perfect because he is supposed to be. What they aspire to be is something they're not going to be.
And now the wheels are coming off.
Right.
And you know, they're not really going to come off because she's very talented. Now, for him,
yeah,
it might come
right.
off. But I think collectively, America's saying, you know. No, go ahead. Be happy.
Well, America likes to make these couples, and then we like to tear them down.
F each other's brains out. You know, go crazy. Be happy. Mm-hmm. We don't mind couples that are together. Just don't flaunt it
right.
like you are the only two people on the face of the earth who were ever meant for each other. Because I got news for you, J-Lo. His farts smell. And I got news for you, Ben. Her pussy smells, okay? It's that way on all men and all women. You know, eventually, you got to be married for a while, or you got to be with a girl for a while, but they're still in that honeymoon stage where, oh, he's so great, and he's so wonderful, and she's so great, and she's so wonderful. And Jiggly made $3 million.
Jiggly. And and that should be the name of it from now on,
yeah.
Jiggly.
$3
million. You know, maybe if it was spelled J-I-G-G-L-Y, Jiggly. And like jiggly breasts, maybe it would have done better.
Might have
Hold
something.
On, here you go. Got to take this call because I'm big enough to admit it. Dennis.
Don, how's it going?
Go ahead, say it. It kills me.
You're
say
the
it.
King of knowledge when it comes to music.
I know.
Except for one tune.
Say it. Go ahead.
The Stones didn't do it.
I know. Say who it was.
The Kinks.
The Kinks.
1964.
Tired. Tired of waiting.
What else do you need to know?
Tired of waiting for you. Well, all I can say is you.
You really got me.
You got me going.
Now you're into the Kinks groove. Now you got it.
There you go. Thank you, my friend. Okay. Hello, Don and Mike show. Yeah, Kinks, not the Stones. Yes.
Enough of the farting. Can I hear about your weekend?
I'll get to it. It's a four-hour show.
Oh, okay. I'm home. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
People count on it, Don.
Yeah. You have such a demanding audience,
yes,
Mike. Such a demanding audience.
Now, you know, it's audience participation.
It's a lifestyle-oriented show that we're doing here.
Right.
I don't think I'm going to read this today. I'm going to save this for tomorrow.
The fan mail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a really good piece of fan mail. Mm. Based on the discussion that we had on Friday's episode when the sales guy came in.
Oh, yeah.
The letters keep coming in.
And it was the argument about, you know, the program director put out a note saying, don't come into the studio during the show and don't talk to disc jockeys right after the show, which is like general practice at every radio station in America, from the smallest to the biggest. But this one sales guy took umbrage with it and came in, and we got hot. But, of course, as always, I'm catching most of the flack for it, even though I know you felt the same way. And
there's a new memo that came out today that basically states, do not speak to the salespeople before or immediately after they've made a difficult, grueling sales call. And it goes without saying, don't approach their desk when they're on the phone.
That's fair. Absolutely. But
even.
Yeah. Got a piece of a great hate mail, but I think we'll save it for tomorrow.
Wow.
Because we got some other mail. We'll just do a mailbag segment tomorrow.
Very good.
It'll wait for a day.
Oh, yeah. It'll keep. Yeah.
You know, I think some people actually tune in to hear a good piece of hate mail.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I will.
That day.
Plus, you don't have to. You're here.
Oh, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't show it to you.
That's
so
fair.
So you won't have to wait until tomorrow, Buzz.
I like that.
Okay. Ben and J-Lo, we've laughed at them, haven't we? Okay. Enough of laughing at them. Boy, I was pissed before I get to the weekend. Just a couple of items here. I was so pissed on Friday night when I got home and turned on CNN and I saw Saddam's daughters. And we've sent them to Jordan or somewhere where they're going to be safe.
Right.
And these bitches are on our TV or on our CNN being interviewed. And here's what they're saying: he is a loving man. He is such a good father. He was always a good father to us. And here's my question, and I really mean this very seriously. Why don't we just chop their heads off now?
Mm-hmm.
We killed Uday and his brother Fred. Why are we letting these girls, if not be in prison, why are we putting them up in Jordan? Why are we allowing them to be interviewed saying what a great guy Saddam Hussein is?
I'm afraid you'd have to take that up with the Jordanian government, Don. I think that's who's making that decision.
All right. Well,
and if you believe in equal rights, I think they're just as dangerous, potentially dangerous, to participate in some sort of uprising as the sons would be.
Somebody get their leader, Michael, on the phone for me.
It's not the country of Michael Jordan.
It's not the Jordanaires.
Different Jordan.
Well, either way, even if we had nothing to do with it, what the F is CNN doing running this?
I frankly think we should consider a boycott of the almonds.
Jordan almonds.
Thank you, Rob.
Anyway, I just found it incredibly insulting. I mean, these are bad guys and bad girls. They had to know the same stuff that Uday and Fred were doing. And
their dad killed their husbands, both of them.
Both of them?
Both of their husbands were killed by Saddam.
Yeah.
Man, I knew one of them, but both of them, and they still see they're sick. They still say that.
He's a good man. He's a good father.
That's well, crazy. You know, but the one thing I would say, I didn't see this. I didn't see the interview, but are they probably still brainwashed and in a state of terror of their father? I mean, can you imagine if you're in love with your husband and your father kills your husband?
Well, the one allegedly has not been killed yet. He just hasn't been seen for 8 years.
Ah.
And she drives past the house where she last saw him.
Right.
But even with that, wouldn't you just we're out.
I'd sure watch him.
He's not a good guy.
I'd keep him in some kind of confinement. I'd keep them in, house arrest or harem arrest. Keep them in harem arrest.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Were they cute?
Yeah, hello.
Oh, they're knockouts. They're perfect tens, Mike.
Well,
of course.
Yeah.
What do you think? They look like camels. They got the.
Didn't he marry
him,
babe?
They had the bukas on and the
burkas.
Yeah, the
bukas.
Hard to tell what they look like. Hello,
bukas.
Hello.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey.
What are these girls' names?
Their names are Wilma and Betty.
Wilma and Betty Hussein.
I don't know what their names are, but they, yeah. It was all over the
news. Audrey and Judy.
It was all over the news, and I'm sitting there getting mad about that, and then they come on with the next headline, which is Kobe Bryant. Someone in Kobe Bryant's house, or Kobe Bryant himself, calls 911. Did you hear about this?
No.
This is Friday night, too. That apparently, like, Kobe Bryant doesn't have enough going on.
What happened now?
Well, there was a 911 call.
That 911!
Called from Kobe Bryant's home at about 12:23, either Thursday night or sometime leading up to Friday. And the cops went out there, and there was a woman who required attention. They're not saying who the woman was, and they're not saying...
Well, I mean, I would assume it's his wife, right?
Well, here's the thing. There was another 911 call that was made the day after he told her.
Hey.
What are you laughing at?
Well, Rob said in the background, Anita Bryant.
So he's married to Anita, isn't he?
Anita Bryant. That's old.
So that is old.
That is, but it's funny.
Sorry. There were two 911 calls. There was one 911 call that was allegedly the night that he told her that he banged the girl in Colorado. And then maybe, okay, she got nutty and they had to call 911. But now there's another 911 call for Kobe Bryant. And
is his grandfather still living at the house?
And his grandfather is...
There.
There, Bryant. Roll Tide!
He's even dead.
Roll Tide!
See, that's cheating. Hey, I think it's cheating when an old man is dead.
So, yeah. Oh, not me. Especially if they're bad.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're bad. Hold on a second. And then going on with Kobe. So, oh, here you go. So, he's got this bad publicity, right? He's got to show up in Colorado on Wednesday. He's making 911 calls.
Wow.
Yet here he is at the Teen Choice Awards, where he was voted famous male athlete, choice male athlete, by 12 million online voters. And as you can see, there's his piece-of-ass wife. And she not only has on the $4 million ring that he got her, she has a bracelet on, you know, like those What Would Jesus Do things?
Yes.
Hers says, I love Kobe, and his says, I love Vanessa.
Is that Aww. New?
That's brand new. This picture was taken Saturday.
So they probably went out and got him.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nutty. I just, the thing is nutty. I was sitting there.
So there weren't any details about this call?
I'm going to ask Buzz for more details because...
I'll look into it.
Well, look into it right now, Buzz, right. Because I just... go to, like, the ESPN.com or something, because I got home Friday night, turned on TV. First, I see Saddam's Daughters, then I see 911 call by Kobe Bryant, and I'm just thinking, wow, what the F is going on? And then I got one other news item to touch on here, and this was another one that you're going to have to follow up on me, for me, Buzz, after you're done with Kobe Bryant.
Mm-hmm.
Remember last week on the news, one of his kickers, the funny stories that Buzz has at the end of the news,
right.
Was about the guy that goes into the strip club and the broad, the dancer,
she's lactating
and
right.
And she shoots milk on him and well then now he sues her.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning I get an email from a friend of mine that says, hey, go to smokinggun.com. Great website. We've had these guys on the show lots of times.
Right.
Thesmokinggun.com. As it turns out, he is suing her, and now the dancer is suing the guy.
Countersuit.
Here are the two stories as I was able to understand them from the Smoking Guns report. It was never a case of her just doing a lap dance and the milk accidentally shooting out of her breast into this guy's face.
Right.
He claims that while she was gyrating on his lap, she squeezed her breast,
okay, right.
Forcing the milk to come out and shoot him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
She now is claiming that while she was on his lap gyrating, he reached out and fondled her bosom to make the milk come out. So she, of course, now in this wonderful litigious society that we live in,
is countersuing.
She is suing him for sexual harassment,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not really sure what he's suing her for. You know, he got some milk on his face, I guess.
Yeah, assault, I think, is his charge.
Yeah, anyway. That's his assault with milk.
Well, it's a whole litigious thing, as you mentioned. And you know, I think the guy, you know, what's he doing? I mean, why is he bothering with this? What's he going to get out of a stripper? I mean, how much money can a stripper have?
Well, he complained to the manager to begin with. I think Buzz had this on his story. He complained to the manager, and the manager offered him some free soft drinks.
Oh, really?
And apparently the guy wasn't happy.
That wasn't enough.
That he got offered some free soft drinks, so he went out and got himself a lawyer who said, you know, son, you got a case.
I come in here quite often, and usually the lap dances are quite satisfactory.
Brad. Brad, did you in fact squeeze this woman's breasts?
Well, yes, Dennis, I did, but...
Brad?
Yes, Dennis?
You're fired.
Hope you had a nice one, Arnold.
That's too bad we can't say. We can say piss and vinegar.
Right.
But we can't say hope you had a nice Arnold.
Yeah. But, you know, there are people like that guy in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. There are people that just whine and complain. I mean, that's the world's full of them.
I don't know, but it's growing hair. And it reminds me a lot of this, is in some ways, this Kobe Bryant thing. That it's going to end up being him and this girl in Colorado. And there's, I don't know, unless the prosecutors have gotten... Some scary evidence.
I would be very, very upset if I was in a joint and a woman did that. If it happened that way. I wouldn't like it one little bit. I would be very...
Would you sue, though?
No, of course. I wouldn't. I would. If I sue, then they know I've been in the joint.
Right.
And what fun is it if you're not sneaking in there?
So then he sues her.
I mean, even as a single guy now, I still like the idea of, you know, going into those places and people don't know I've been in them.
So he sues her, and now she's suing him. And all of this will play out on Court TV at some point.
I can't wait.
Sure.
You know, because really, even if the guy was upset, he's got to be somewhat of a nimrod for doing this.
Did you find anything about Kobe, Buzz?
I did. The only thing that I could find from ESPN indicates that there was really only one call, that it was revealed on Friday that he had made, or that someone, well, it says here that he made the 911 call the day before he surrendered to authorities on the sexual assault charge.
All right. Well, I had heard it was two, but then they went back and recounted.
Well, that sounds to me as though...
Like he told his wife, maybe.
And they had a domestic.
She went nuts.
Yeah.
They say he hung up without talking. He just dialed 911. They say it was him, specifically.
You know, not real smart.
Then he hung up.
Not real smart, because they have caller ID. And, like, if you call 911 and hang up, you might as well invite a posse to come out to your house.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true. Police say they found no one to treat and no one to arrest when they got there.
Okay, well, look in and see if, and maybe someone out there knows. Maybe I'm talking out my ass, which I do a lot.
I wonder if she was, like, pointing a gun at him. She'd have a right to,
possibly.
You know?
Or maybe she was like holding a knife, by his genitals.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she was very composed when the cameras were running.
And then what are you going to do? You know, your wife is, holding it, or God, what if she's got like a knife down like by his right hand, his shooting hand?
Yeah. God.
And she says, "How could you do this to me?" I mean, and what's he going to do? Because you can't hit her, because if you hit her,
right.
Well, Rob, you know, notwithstanding, you can't hit her, because if you hit her, then it's, you know, it's real domestic assault.
You know, people are still talking about this. It's still very much on people's minds, and a lot of people I talk feel as though perhaps, you know, he's going to take a big fall on this.
He's already losing endorsement deals.
That the evidence that they seem to have could be very, very incriminating, and that evidence really more than anything else. From what I've heard, is the evidence about injuries that this woman apparently suffered.
Yeah, there was just one call.
And Buzz, who did he lose his endorsement deal with?
Nutella, the peanut butter chocolate goo that you can buy.
That's Nutella?
That's one. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. Nutella,
yeah.
I guess.
Nutella, right. But there's still some people, there's still that contingent out there saying that this is going to help his sneaker sales.
Right, right.
Because now...
You can always find another candy endorsement, like Nudie Booty.
Now he's more street now. He's got some cred.
That's kind of perverse, but it's true that does happen.
He's got street credibility now. Right. Busting Nutella. Hello, Don and Mike.
Or he could maybe endorse coffee, chock full of newts.
Hello.
Nutella. It
Don
actually is.
Is it Nutella?
Yeah, Nutella.
I thought it was made
Nutella.
Like out of nuts.
Well, it is, but it's pronounced Nutella.
Where did you get that?
From the Associated Press.
I thought you were...
Oh, well, then there you go. They're not over there like with the hookah over there.
I thought you were newts.
The main ingredient is hazelnuts. So
it's Nutella. It's not Nutella.
Packed with peanuts.
Somebody call AP.
Wait a minute.
Paul Charles Schultz. Ask him. What's the name of your comic?
Isn't it
peanuts?
It's made out of what? Hazelnuts,
yeah.
Right?
Hazelnuts, I think. Right?
Hello, Don and Mike. Ralph, are you there?
Ralph.
All right, Ralph. Sorry, can't do it. Wish I could. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, this is John.
Yeah, John, hi.
Hi, I was wondering, I heard earlier that there was some more indication of the original assault and that there was anal involved. I was wondering if you guys had heard anything about that, with the original assault with Kobe.
That it was...
Well, we've been sniffing around, but we...
I'll tell you one thing, Mark Hilkenberger. I've been around a lot of these cases, and this one just smells.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right,
see ya.
See you later. Bye
bye. Well, the evidence that I found took place right outside of Brownstone.
Do you hear what happened? Colorado. Beautiful. Little, just wait for the tape to cue up. Beautiful little hideaway. Log cabin.
I don't know if anybody fled the scene, but I'm reasonably sure that what I'm looking at in that driveway, those are skid marks. I love my job.
Hey, Mark. Holy ass. Okay, that's, I'm out. You got one more?
No, I'm done. I the skid
Buzz?
Marks was my only one.
Buzz, if you got
I too looked at the crime
all right,
scene.
All right, hold on. I'm ready for you.
He wants
go.
To play too.
From what I've seen, that's not Nutella.
Oh, let's go out on a high note, Rob.
We really have a lot of evidence to discuss. You may want to pull up a stool.
All right, that's how you play that game. Let's clear these lines. So many calls. Oh, my gosh. So many calls of this show. Let's just clear them all, Joe. Off with their heads. 877-365-3636. Hit that button and just clear the lines. We'll get a call number 100 for the secret sound, which is worth $1,000. And I do have for you today the very first clue.
Clue?
A clue.
It's a clue.
A clue to help you win $1,000. Dial recklessly, Rob, don't worry. It's one of the easy clues.
All right.
I mean, it's easy for you and I because we know the answer.
Right.
But eventually it'll make sense for, you know, all of the other fine residents of downtown Dumbass.
Yeah.
Which is just...
Yeah, and I'm mayor of Dumbass.
Just something that I'm reading this book by this guy named Dan Jenkins, who wrote the book Semi-Tough.
Yeah, very good. A great author.
Yeah, and anyway, and I'm stealing them. I'm just openly stealing because... One chapter of the book is called Downtown Dumbass. We're just describing all of the people that
right.
live in this part of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And it's just called Downtown Dumbass. And you know, that's where our show should be broadcast from every day.
Is it another football book?
Yeah, it's a sequel to Semi-Tough.
Oh, cool.
With the same guys. So listen, call now. I'll be the 100th caller. Good luck. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show. National Treasure. Don and Mike.
Might have to change that one soon. Regional treasures. Local treasures.
Washington's own.
Time for a call 100. And here we go. Golly. Right here. Lucky Six. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Hello? Hold on, that line just, you know, the phone, these digital phones are nuts. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
There you go. It's reset. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Tommy Gibson.
Hi, Tommy. Where are you from?
I'm from Hagerstown.
On WJFK or W... What is it up there? ARK?
Let's turn that radio down, okay?
Okay, it's down.
Well, what's the station you're listening to us on?
1490. I think that's branch W...
Yeah,
Wark. There you go.
Wark. W-A-R-K.
Yeah.
Enjoy us while you got us.
Yeah.
And thank you for dialing in today. You've won 15 free Slurpees and a 7-Eleven convenient card. Power up your thirst with the brand new Slurpee flavor, Mountain Dew Live Wire. Plus, you've got tickets to see Huey Lewis in the News. Don't miss this legendary band, Huey Lewis and the News, live in concert at Wolf Trap, Sunday, August 17. For tickets, go to wolftrap.org. Are you ready to play
yes,
for $1,000?
I'm going to try.
With this common everyday sound?
All right.
And here's your clue. Your clue is, now I've not discussed this with Rob, and I have a lot of different ways that I could go with this. Your clue is,
come on,
weather.
Weather.
What do you think? Don't look at me in that tone of voice, Rob. It could be weather like the kind of weather we're having, or it could be weather or not, or it could be a smokescreen, which would be weathery.
That's
But I think you'll find in the end, as always, I'm leading you down the primrose path, that weather is a viable, hell, more than viable, it's a great clue.
Is it better than JF for the last one?
What was the last one?
JF for Jerry Seinfeld.
Attention genius, the guy got it on JS, Jerry Seinfeld.
He got it on Jerry Seinfeld because you said Jerry Seinfeld. Rob, they wanted JS.
Well, either way, the guy did get it. And yes, you're going to find that I'm building you a pyramid here. Mike is writing down, unlocking a screen for a window.
From a window.
From a window, no. Play the sound now, though. Give you 15 seconds to think about it. Please don't answer until Mike sings like, and Mike is picked from the pile today, so we'll have to wait and see what tune he'll be singing.
Well, I'll tell you who's going to sing it, though.
Okay, by who?
It's a little Suzanne Vega for us.
Oh.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is.
Little Suzanne Vega.
Hey, she is little Suzanne Vega. Isn't she marvelous? Great car, great singer. There's the sound one more time, and we wish you Godspeed.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Yes, I think you've seen me before.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, now the pressure's on you, my friend. For $1,000, what is it?
Sue Palka farting. I don't know.
Weather related?
No.
Oh, we're sorry.
No, but thank you.
Thank you.
Mike, don't be mad at me.
Well, see, I know you guys enjoy this, okay? But as one of the participants in this game, somebody who relates to the listeners, and as that wonderful fan mail said, we do that well. The thing is, I get disappointed when we get a guy that doesn't take the contest seriously.
Yeah.
Because really, we're out here trying to base our guesses on the answers that are given.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, sorry. You've let Mike down, sir.
That's all right.
Okay. All of them. No, and all the people that are playing the game, Don, not just
that's right.
Me.
But,
no, I couldn't hear very well, honestly. I've heard it on the air, and you're doing it halfway through Mike singing.
You lost it in the sun.
No, don't blame my singing. I wait till after the Thanksgiving.
And you hear it. Here's the exact way it's done. It goes, caller, name the sound. Then the sound plays before there's any singing.
And sometimes he gives it to you a couple of times.
That's true. Well, thank you guys for the opportunity.
Welcome to Downtown Dumbass. What did I tell you? And here I was, and I was on your side.
You were on the caller's side.
Mm-hmm. No longer.
Right.
No
thanks for coming over to the right side, Don.
Hi.
Welcome.
See you at the town meeting tonight. Downtown DA. Buzz, what is your guess?
Here's my guess.
Put that down, Buzz.
Gotcha.
He's got it?
He's goddamn close.
It was a good clue.
It was.
I swear on my kid's life, he's so close that I can't ask him about it. But Buzz, it's
right. You know, I understand it's what you would ask me.
It's one of a couple of things.
Yes.
Way to go, Buzz.
All right.
Way to go, Buzz.
Oh.
Like you have it now?
No.
No, you don't have it.
You know, sometimes you're really into the fact that I don't have it. And
no, I'm happy. I'm happy.
I know you're happy I don't have it.
No, I'm happy.
I'm always the last one now.
I'm happy when you get it.
No.
I'm very happy when you get it.
And I wasn't even in the ballpark?
No. Not even the ballpark. Not that, but ballpark. Ballpark. Not close.
Okay.
What did Rob write? Rob just wrote me a joke. Buzz is now going newts with the knowledge.
Yes.
All right, thank you, Rob.
We have not had anybody contradicting that yet, though, to say. I'm just saying, I assume because it's made with nuts that it's Nutella.
Right.
And you're going on your Associated Press thing that says Nutella.
They usually research these things, and they have it N-O-O.
They do not.
Yeah, no, they do.
No, not at Associated Press.
Did they give you a pronunciation guide with it, Buzz?
Every day, yes.
At Associated Press, they all get high.
and the problem in there is why.
So anyway.
Can we get high?
Anyway, Well, I, you know, you mentioned it. Before I get to my weekend, I will read this letter, the fan letter of the week. And I just wish, because I know you want me to read it, don't you?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
You laugh.
Absolutely.
We laugh. We laugh.
It's funny because it's well written.
We all laughed when we saw it. Here's my only request of anybody that's going to send us this type of fan mail. Please first put a name on and a return address. Not because we want to do anything bad to you, but we'd love to get you on the telephone.
Right.
And second, you know, just me, just one of my quirks. If you're going to send a letter, actually put it in an envelope. Don't just print out a letter on a piece of paper, then fold the letter, fold the piece of paper twice, staple it, and scrawl my name and put a stamp on it.
Yeah, spared no expense.
So, hold on, Mike. Here is confirmation for you from a candy expert, David.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah,
hey guys.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Buzz, congratulations on your guest. And, hey, Mike, welcome to Downtown Dumbass.
I don't know what that was.
Well, now
that certainly wasn't a confirmation.
Well, it said that he had been to the website for the candy company, and they say it's Nutella, although he didn't mention all of that during his phone call.
Because he obviously didn't have the presence of mind or the wherewithal, whatnot.
So, let me just set this up very briefly, that on Friday's episode... there was a memo, that an internal memo, an email note that was sent out, and incidentally not at our request, by the program director to the sales staff,
right,
saying what is generally known as a rule in radio,
right,
that you don't come into the studio and the disc jockey's doing the show, and if it's 5 minutes before the show or 5 minutes after the show, you don't come up to the disc jockey and say, hey, I got a proposition for you.
Mm.
Now, this doesn't make us elitist. This doesn't make us divas. This is done at the smallest radio station at the biggest radio station. And I think I made some comments about, you know, oh, and then Tim's response, the sales guy's response to the program director, and I wasn't even involved in this, was
Yo Gray.
Yeah. Talent, meaning disc jockeys, has no idea what pressure is.
Right.
And then I made the horrible sin of commenting that it in fact did take pressure to put on a radio show, and that while we didn't ask Cameron to put out this letter, it's common knowledge, and yeah, it's now listen. It's
I think
not,
it's very important to point out that our point of view was countering Tim's email. It was
right.
Not any, and what Tim was saying was, we don't know what pressure is.
Yeah, his,
and that's all we were saying. We were indicating that we feel as much, if not more, because of the way the rating system works. And I think that people that don't do that don't have a concept of that.
And so, he implied that we were treated better than our people in the sales department. The truth is we're just trying to focus on the product, as
yeah.
you pointed out.
Now, you know, we're not having a pity party. We're not sitting
right.
around saying, oh, cry for us, Argentina.
Right.
But the point is, you know, I've worked in this business almost 30 years, and I know a lot of you think I got it easy. Well, I'd say in answer to that, where were you people when I was working 7 days a week, no lie, making $75 a week to be able to be fired for doing something that I thought was right, and then having to sit out for a month and get another job and doing it all over again? But that's, you know, that's 20 years ago. What would you know about that now? You're seeing me here now. But our whole point with this thing on Friday, besides just being good radio and a good argument, was the fact that this guy, Tim, the sales guy, had taken a slam at all disc jockeys, saying that talent doesn't know what pressure is.
No, and talent knows what pressure is, because everybody that's been doing this for any length of time has had the moments where, you know, they have to go through the revolving door, and they have had the moments where you're as good as your last ratings book, which I got news for you. You know, it's the same for us today as it was when we started out.
And the last thing I'll say before I read this wonderful letter is, it's not like we're Van Halen or Bruce Springsteen, but the truth is, for the 4 hours that we're in here, we're running and we're working our asses off, regardless if you think so or not. And I defy you to come down, much as I would say to a guy who's out digging a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
When he's done digging a ditch for 4 hours or 8 hours, whatever his shift is, he don't want to be called into his boss's office and said, hey, listen, we want to talk to you about a proposition. He says, you know, give me a couple of minutes just to get the F away.
Everybody's that way, and everybody has the same kind of deal when they when you're working hard and you're doing your job. Right after you get done doing it, it's the last time you
want
to.
And again, I'll apologize, and why I am, I don't know, but I'll apologize for the fact that Mike and I have jobs where we have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for the disenfranchised out there, like this guy, Mark, who didn't write his last name, who apparently has got some hard-on against us because we have a job that's fun. I'm sorry, Mark, that you hate to hear that there's real work and pressure involved. But anyway, so we had this discussion with Tim, and I thought it was a good bit, and we moved on. And then I came in today, and I get this wonderful letter from the guy who doesn't even have the guts to sign a last name or an address.
Right.
Oh, my God, Don. You are such an elitist snob. I'm listening to you defend your position to Tim McWilliams that you'd need downtime after each show. I don't think it was talking about myself in particular, I'd like to point out. It was just...
No, the issue at hand was, if you're going to do some business right after the show or right before it, is not the time to do that. And there are many other channels to get what you want. That's what the whole Cameron email was about.
It is so typical of some rich prick to think that somehow his success, fame, and fortune elevates him to a level where he doesn't have to deal with the common folk. Okay, issue number one. By common folk, I'm guessing that you are speaking about the people I work with here on the radio station. I will tell you the people that I came in contact with today, since I've been here today. Bobby, Alan, Cameron, Timmy, Chris, John, and Haji. Those are the people outside our radio show who I came in contact with today.
And I will tell you who I've come in contact with today.
Yeah.
Don.
But anyway, that's the point. The point is that for both of us, we're not into that Tom Cruise thing. But this guy took us seriously.
I want to thank everybody for diverting their gaze from me.
Well, now here's another thing that he took seriously. I've been listening to you since the WAVA days, and I've heard you rail against the Hollywood elite who request the help to divert their eyes. This is exactly what you are doing to Tim McWilliams. And you're actually serious. Jesus, you're freaking me out, man. I'm embarrassed. I thought you were just a regular guy. He continues. Bulletin, F-head. We regular guys also try to be the best salesmen, soldiers, plumbers, everyday workers, and husbands. We think about and worry about our job performance, too. Ooh, poor Donnie gets judged on his work performance. Boo-hoo. So sorry for not being up to the air personality standards. You oh-so-special hypocrite. You need downtime? Crawl into your effing cave at home and have all the downtime you want. No one ever died wishing they were meaner to their friends and coworkers. You're still the best that radio has to offer. I suppose I'll just get used to the thought of listening to a couple of snobs. Mark.
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, now, Mark obviously was motivated to pen that letter to us and has some very strong feelings about it. And I think I say this very reasonably. F you! F you!
Mark, first, you should know, because you are listening, because we are the best thing on the radio, you should know first that part of what we did on Friday with Tim was serious, and part was for your benefit, you, the home listener.
I think it's wonderful when you get salespeople and people on this side of the building that get into a spirited debate.
But
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. But as someone who obviously knows nothing about this business, there is an ongoing battle long before I got into radio or Mike did, and long after we'll get out. Sales versus programming is a constant battle that goes on in every radio station. Sales thinks it drives because they go out and make the money. Programming talent thinks that they drive it because if you don't have something to sell, you're not going to be able to go out and sell.
If you want an analogy, a great analogy would be a car dealership where you've got the sales department and the service department. It's a very, very similar relationship that the people that do what we do have with the salespeople.
And bulletin to you, F-head. I would venture to say that regular guys who are salesmen, soldiers, plumbers, everyday workers, etc., when they go through a day of crap, and excuse me for saying this, but a lot of times we do go through crap here. You know, I'm sorry that it's in a fun environment, but we do. No matter what your job, you get done at the end of it. The last thing you want is some guy coming up and saying, hey, you got 5 minutes? All you really want is just 10 minutes just to chill out.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you really want. It's got nothing
and to even do though, and it should be pointed out, that this memo that Cameron wrote was not coming from this show.
No, right.
It was another show, and they were perfectly probably legitimate in their request.
We took umbrage because it's the thing that we've heard in radio the whole time we've been in radio. Mm-hmm. Sales versus programming. The two sides never really work together. And as far as thinking I'm, you know, you thought I was a regular guy, I'm a regular guy. I got no problem shaving this face in the mirror in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you, Mark, who didn't have the balls to write your name, I'd say you're the guy with the issues. That you write an anonymous letter to a disc jockey who you don't really know, accusing me of a lot of stuff, and then not having the balls to sign your name to it.
Here's the difference, too, between this show and a lot of shows that are on the radio. You know, this kind of stuff, to be honest with you, most of the time happens behind the scenes. You don't have it out on the radio. It's not out front. And we put it on because, first of all, we think we're right. And second of all, we think it's entertaining when you get a nice little battle going on like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the real prima donna move would be to never say anything about this. And we let most of our battles, not all of them, granted, but most of our battles, we put on the radio so you can hear them. I mean, it's all out there for you.
And Mark?
So you can judge, Mark.
Mark, I'm sorry that your life hasn't worked out the way you want it to. But I'm sorry that you think I'm a rich prick and that somehow my success, fame, and fortune has elevated me to a level where I don't have to deal with the common folk. Well, I have news for you. The salespeople that work at this station are not common folk. They are uncommon folk. They are vermin. It is a day-to-day struggle and battle to keep this show as it is. Because if they had their way, this segment, this hate mail segment, would be brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. You stupid ass. So don't do me any favors as you call me F-head. Stop listening.
Yeah, and the fact is that you and I both believe that there are millions of jobs out there that have the same or even greater degrees of stress.
Everybody, listen, when
everybody,
Al...
And everybody in their own way has their own stress.
Mm-hmm. When Al Bundy would come home after a day of selling shoes, he'd walk through the door and Peg would say, Al, I want to do it. He'd say, don't bother me. Now, I know it's a television show. I know
right?
It's a parody.
Mm-hmm.
But, hello, McFly. To a large extent, the show you're listening to is also entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem, too. I appreciate the fact that you listen every day. I appreciate the fact you think that you know us.
There are all kinds of jobs that have different degrees of pressure. There are jobs that I know have more pressure than what we have in this. Lots of them. Plenty of jobs. I mean, your surgeons, your cops that are out there on the line every day. Of course there are. And I think the smallest job in the world, the job that requires the least brain power, that has its own pressures involved with it.
I would say even a guy working at the drive-thru at McDonald's.
Absolutely.
Has pressure.
He gets seven cars backed up there. He's got a hustle.
And I've done it. I did. I worked at Burger King and I worked at Roy Rogers.
Right.
It's a pain in the ass, even back in the day before you had the drive-through windows. And you can't tell me that some guy that works 8 hours at McDonald's having to deal with morons saying, no, idiot, I want the number two with a large fry and no cheese on the quarter pounder. You can't tell me that guy at the end of his 8-hour shift gets done, takes off his clothes, walks out of his work area, and his boss or some sales guy comes and says, hey, I've got a unique opportunity that I really need to talk to you about right now. That guy's going to say, okay, let's sit and chat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you say? Hey, give me 10 minutes. I just worked an 8-hour shift.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of you stupid people who think that Mike and I work 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm sorry that you don't have what it takes to do this. Are you the same thing? Do you watch television at night and say, that Jay Leno, he works 1 hour a day? Do you watch Tom Brokaw and think, that ass, he works 30 minutes a day?
That's, you know, forever in this business.
Yeah.
That is what you get. You
right.
will always get that in this business.
Anyway, just listen to me, dickhead.
You know, they don't say that about Tom Brokaw. They don't say that about it. It's amazing. That's a broadcasting business also. It's strange that they don't. It's strange that they don't go, oh, man, hey, you know, that Jay Leno, 90 minutes. Come on.
No, 60.
You know? 60.
He doesn't even do 90. That's 60. Right. But you and I both know that even a no talent like Jay Leno, he's got to be there to work on the stuff that goes on his show. You know what I need downtime from, really, is crap like this. And you think that I'm elitist. You think that I'm a rich prick, that I don't have to deal with the common folk. Well, I got news for you, Mark. In 5 years, I'll be a common folk. And then you tell me what you think when you turn on the radio every day and we're not here. Then you tell me what you think. But until then, kiss my ass and go to hell. And your mother's a whore. And next time, send it in an envelope. And write your last name.
And thank you for your correspondent.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Boo-hoo for not being up to the air personality standards. Right there. You know what that says to me? Boo-hoo that you were not smart enough to find a job in which you could feel comfortable in.
There seems to be anger in that letter.
Yeah. Boo-hoo. And I'm not talking about being creative like being an artist or being a disc jockey or anything. I'm talking about, I was watching a guy lay bricks, I don't know, last summer. And I really said to him, you've really got this down to an art form. Because this guy was making this windy thing that was going all around the place. And the guy said, hey, thanks. I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a guy, Jesus Christ, who's laying bricks. But it's his passion. And he loves doing it. And he's good at it. And I'm sure at the end of his day, after he gets done cutting down the bricks to make sure that it zigzags exactly the way the house frown wanted, the last thing that he wants is for his boss to come up to him after he's been on, doing this all day and go, hey, I need to talk to you about this job tomorrow. I'm sure he would say,
does it happen? I'm sure it does. Mm-hmm. Do they like it happening? No. Nobody does.
Right.
And anyway, that's that. So we did it on Friday. And that was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
And today's kind of tongue-in-cheek. But really, you know, you jerk off. Just get bent. Seriously, go to hell. I mean it. I pray you marry one of Saddam Hussein's daughters.
No, they're available.
I really do.
Is the one that has the husband that's just missing, is she available?
Yeah, well, I guess, technically, yes.
And thanks for...
she might still think she's married to the guy.
Yeah. Incidentally, thank you very much, because it just drips with the sarcasm that even someone as dumb as me can see. You're still the best thing radio has to offer. I suppose I'll have to get used to the thought of listening to a couple of snobs.
Yeah, we sure look like a couple of snobs today.
Let me say something to you, sir. You're absolutely right. Rob?
Yes?
Where is my caviar?
Well, I left it in the van.
Yes. Jesus Christ. You effing dickhead. I mean it.
Yeah.
Hey, jerk-off, call in. I dare you. I'll give you a prize if you call in.
It's easy to hide behind the typewriter, son.
And I will die wishing I was meaner to my friends and coworkers. What the hell was that? First off, Tim McWilliams is not my friend. He's a guy that I work with. My coworkers, again, I sleep easy at night knowing how I treat my coworkers. You, dickhead, have no idea how I treat coworkers because you don't know me. As I tried to explain last week, you know the me that you hear on the show.
Right.
I'm sorry you're so stupid that you can't make the difference in your mind, that you can't say, oh, I get it, Don's just doing a show. He's just being an ass on the radio. Just being an a-hole on the radio. I've listened to you since the waiver days. Heard you rail against Hollywood elite. That's exactly what you're doing to Tim McWilliams. No.
That was the same thing. Tim came in here. The reason we railed against Tim was because he wrote the letter back to Cameron that we thought was a little over the top. And then we had a great time talking to him. And it was a fun, fun thing that we did. You know, we were pissed. But I'll tell you, it was good to be... I thought it was great radio.
And it was... You know, for the last time, it was an indictment against everybody that's been on this side of radio.
I think the one thing that our point to Tim was that, you know, give me a break. Everybody has pressure. Everybody does. Nobody has any corner on that. Anybody that works for a living that's got to put food on the table, they've got different pressures. It's the way it works.
Amen. So anyway, thanks, Mark. And next time, grow a set of nuts and write your last name on here.
Grow a set. One of my favorites. Grow a set.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to say I know exactly how you feel. I work in the IT department. When I come home and people ask me computer questions, I just feel like saying, leave me the F alone.
Yeah, and again, it has nothing to do with being elitist or being a snob. It's just you do your job, and then when you're done with your job, you want to be done with your job
That's
for a little
right.
while.
Like if, you know, you and I both know physicians that are friends of ours, and it's tough when you go to a party with somebody like that and anybody has a question for them. People still do it to doctors.
Yeah.
I think doctors get it more than anybody else.
Why does my arm go like this?
And the one thing that you, would you agree the pet peeve we have is that when somebody comes up to you and decides, you know, if somebody wants to come up and say, hey, I listen to your show, it's funny. It feels good. It's great. But when you get the people that want to talk about every radio show that they listen to and why it's good or bad, that's the pet peeve.
Yeah. Hi, Don and Mike.
Don, Mike.
Howdy.
What's up? I'm calling from the Legacy,
so
by the way.
So snobby what I just said.
You are, Mike.
You're such a snob.
Although the letter was just, I'm an elitist snob, but I guess you're in the last part. A couple of snobs. A
couple of snobs. Yeah, thanks for really including me in the letter, a-hole.
Hello, yeah, Brian.
Yeah, I'm calling from the Legacy, Philadelphia.
Hi there, enjoy it. Oh, and listen, the countdown is on. I believe we have 26 shows. 26 days. I don't even know how many shows that is left before Tim Sabian cancels us in Philadelphia.
Four.
Oh, is that definite now? Come on.
Oh, listen, we had a meeting with a guy from Infinity last week.
Yeah, he pretty much, he told us the way it is.
Yeah, he said it's up to management in Philadelphia, which means it's up to Tim Sabian.
We're sending him a box of chocolates every day.
We're history in Philly.
All right, I'm sorry.
But as Gloria Gaynor sang, we will survive.
Sure.
And yeah, as far as that moving to Washington thing, that's something everybody might have to do pretty soon.
Yeah, think about it. Amen.
Anyway, I just want to call in. Don, I don't think you're an elitist prick. I think that guy's a dick for trying to rile you up.
Well,
I listen to you guys all the time. I think you guys are good guys. And whether you act like it on the air or not, I'd be hanging out with you guys in bars all the time, Mike.
Thank you.
So, Don, it's not even worth the time for the rest of us.
Oh, no, it is.
Is that a dig at my drinking?
No,
a compliment.
No. And here's why it is worth...
Sorry, I'm a little paranoid.
Here's why it is worth reading, because we read it, and everybody listened to it, and now everybody's calling about it.
Sure.
You know, again, hello, these are the ABCs of doing a radio show. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Yes, hello?
Yes, I'd like to make a comment.
Turn
about
your radio
the
down. Turn your radio down. Duh.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to make a comment about the letter. The guy who wrote it obviously hasn't had to come up and improvise a full week of program.
Well, see you're right. But what he did, now you're letting the cat out of the bag. Of course, this is all scripted. And
this is all written.
That was a setup caller.
That interruption that I just did for you, it was said, Mike, jump in on Don.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Is this me?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's an immediate disqualification.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Do you guys have any idea the kind of pressure we, the callers, are under day in and day out?
On this show, you bet, which is why I urge most of our listeners never to call.
It is a pressure cooker to call this show.
The idea, number one, to turn the radio down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that requires thought and action.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, how do we respond? How do we open the conversation? Do we say, is it me? Do we say, how you guys doing? Do we just remain silent?
You're right.
These are decisions we have to make.
That is why most of you should not call, and I mean that. You should just sit in your cars and enjoy what you can out of the show.
And
thank you.
If you're going to call, be like this guy. Understand what a pressure cooker it is.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
I just wanted to call to compliment you and show you how this letter is actually a compliment, that you portray yourself as, so believable as this real-life person that people really think it's you.
Yeah, and, my wife had to say that to me because there's this guy. As a matter of fact, the guy that, remember when we were on vacation a month ago and I said there was all the problems on the beach and the guy called in.
Yeah.
And said, hey, I was there, I'm the guy.
The guy you said you'd see again down at the beach.
Right, well, I did see him again, and as it turns out, it was that Friday that I had taken off to be with my son before he goes to college.
Right.
And my son and I were sitting down on the beach, and the guy came up to me, and he said, hey, you slacker? And I said, hi. And he said, this is a guy I met one time.
Right.
He said, shouldn't you be at work today? And I looked at him, and I said, shouldn't you be at work today? He said, I've got the day off. I said,
So do I. And then my look indicated, get out of here. And I mentioned this to my wife. I said, you know, that guy that I thought was a nice guy, come up to, hey, slacker. And she said the same thing. She said, it's just because people listen to us and that they think they know us.
Right.
And that's why I get conflicted and why I go crazy sometimes with you people. And why I'm counting the days. Just right. Counting the days. Until I'm out. Until I'm free. But I'm loving every day until then, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a few days ahead of you.
I'm loving it for the next 1,500 days.
God, but who's counting?
Actually,
yeah.
It's a little more than that. Actually, the one for you, I'd be gone long ago. I swear to God.
Thank you.
I swear to God.
I appreciate that.
Thank you, Charlie. We got a break. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello, Robert.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey.
I just want to call and tell you, I completely understand what you're saying. I work in the medical profession, and it drives me up the wall when I got to answer everyone's aching questions about what's wrong with my knee, what's wrong with my back when I'm not working. It drives me insane.
Thank you, doctor.
And that's really not even what we're talking about. I mean, I really don't mind people come out of and saying hi or even if they say, hey, slacker, because you guys listen to the show. That's nice.
Yeah, that is nice, and it, you know, validates what we do.
It was the one guy, the dick, that wrote
the letter. Well, it's also that timing and that smarmy, smirky that they feel is necessary sometimes, and I, you know, you and I both give a little bent on that, and I think we have a right to get a little bent once in a while, right?
Yeah, all the time, every day.
I didn't do it. You don't do it all the time.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You know I do. I'm always bent about something.
Well, that's you.
Hello, Keith.
Don and Mike.
Hey, Keith.
Hey, this really struck a nerve with me. I'm a garbage man. And I tell you what, there's nothing more that I hate more than getting home and the first thing my wife asks me to do is take the garbage out.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, man, I wish we could continue this conversation, but I cannot be seen talking to a garbage man.
You snob.
Okay, goodbye. We got a break. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello, friends. William Shatner here, lounging on the sun deck of a swanky hotel in sunny Miami.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Not me.
They are Icelandic cowboys in the West. Don and Mike.
That William Shatner thing that reminded me. Once again, we're going to push this hard.
So to speak.
Tomorrow's baked bean eating contest. Because you see, August is National Baked Bean Month.
And every now and then you'll have a little brainstorming session in your own mind, and you'll see what floats.
And this time it's baked beans. Bring your own baked beans. First 10 guys, first 10 gals here at Don and Mike World Broadcast Headquarters at WJFK, 10800 Main Street in Toothless, Fairfax, Virginia. Mike, it's our Gastacular.
The Fabulous Tuesday Gastacular. Who can break Gwen the best?
So what you do is you come in, you eat your beans in front of us. Then we put you in a room alone. I mean, you'll be supervised, but you've got to be there for 45 minutes.
And you don't have to power eat them. You can eat them dainty-like.
Then you come back in and you squeeze out some beefers.
It's not how they go in. It's how they come out.
And we'll have a guy category, first 10 guys, first 10 girls, men and women, each with the best fart, to be judged entirely subjectively by each of us. Sound, smell, length, quality, quantity.
But it'll be one grade for fart.
I mean, we'll all add them up together.
And one chance, don't you think?
Yeah, you only get one chance. I mean, you could stand there for a couple of minutes and go...
Do some jumping jacks.
Yeah.
There's your pressure.
Until you hit mud.
Yeah.
But then once one comes out, that's it. And then with all men and women, all 20 contestants, we'll have a special, most unique fart. And that will be also judged by us subjectively.
That will be fascinating.
So we're looking forward.
It will fascinate you.
Looking forward to that on tomorrow's episode, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey Radio
hi.
God.
Howdy.
Howdy, gentlemen. Anybody who can relate women's PMS or lack of PMS and a tick and make me wreck my truck because I'm laughing so damn hard is not an elitist snob.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen, for making my day.
Thank you, and thank you for
calling. Thank you. I was very proud of that line, and I shared that.
That's what we end the show with on Friday.
It was fun, you know, comparing a woman who would take a pill to prevent menstruation to a tick.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, hi.
Don.
Yes, well, Don and Mike.
There's six of automobiles I can determine. Front drive cars are female. Rear drive cars are male.
Is this Wendell again?
Four-wheel drive cars that are originally rear drive, they are homosexual. Front drive cars that...
Listen, I don't know if there's a big sign out front of AA saying call today, but please, let's try not to have quite as many drunk guys call on the show. What are you looking for?
Well, all this talk about elitism is starting to get me a little down.
He's going through his wallet.
I mean, you know, because we're not snobs, and I want to thank V&K Limousine for the ride up to the ball game yesterday.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Would that be Biff and Skip?
I'm Dip, and I'm Skip. Where's Muffy and Buffy?
So what you guys are saying is that everything on your show is not exactly true, so next you're going to tell me that there weren't tunnels underneath that camp?
Tunnels under the...
Hey, this is John. This is the guy you guys got a job at the wrong radio station over on the Eastern Shore a few years back.
Oh, and how's that?
Do you have one of those spit bubbles in your throat?
I'm a little phlegmy.
Okay.
Working it up for tomorrow.
Okay. How's your career going? Are you coming down to the contest?
No, I've got another job. You can make more money saying supersize those fries than you can in small town radio.
Oh, okay.
So what radio station do you work at?
It was WCEI.
Oh, WCEI.
The best variety of the 70s, 80s, and today.
And yes, Don G, I have my own... Robbie, do we still have that pay for that guy?
What's his name? What was the guy's name? Yes, Don G, I have my own.
Oh, God, I don't remember.
Because there's the Maze, and then there's that guy, and they're almost...
Wasn't that Rick Johnson?
Rick Johnson.
RJ the DJ.
That's Earthwind and...
Finer.
I just want to say you guys are so real. You guys helped put food on my table for over a year by helping me get that job.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Hey, I used to know the guy that ran that. I think he might have passed away. The guy used to run that radio station.
Probably.
Oh, good.
Another radio manager dead.
You know, I forgot his name. Tom, I think, was his name.
And I think we've been way inside radio today. I'm going to save this for tomorrow. You got it, Robbie?
I'm afraid that the RJ tape may have taken the long ride, but I have one more place I can check. Okay. We may have it in the near future.
Good. Thank you very much. Not today, but tomorrow we're going to be reading from the current issue of the monthly magazine Infinity Washington.
Hey!
About all of the radio stations owned by our company.
Uh-huh. In Washington?
Yes. And you'll be glad to know that...
Are we in there?
Well, we're mentioned in a column written by Michael Hughes, Senior Vice President, Market Manager. Wow. His column is entitled Market Insights.
Mm. There's a picture of Michael in there?
There it is.
Sure.
Let me say, for any of you who perhaps are insomniacs and have problems falling asleep, you'll want to stay tuned for the part of the show tomorrow.
That is fantastic.
Where I read you this column from Michael Hughes, who doesn't want his name mentioned on the radio.
There you go.
Okay. So.
Lovely picture of him.
Let me start.
Very nice.
Is there such a thing as a bad picture of him?
The man loves the camera.
I don't think so.
I'm sorry. The camera loves the man.
Right.
Okay, the weekend. I got some good stuff and some okay stuff and then some really not okay stuff. Oh, but I got one more thing from TV that I had to tell you about. Last night, I'm flipping around, and I was on VH1, and there's this show called Driven. I don't know if you've ever seen it. And it's, as you would surmise, the title is about people who have busted their ass to make it to the top of the entertainment ladder.
No, it's not about chauffeurs.
No, and it's not that movie with Sylvester Stallone either.
Okay.
The reason I stuck with it was the personality profiled in Driven was Anna Nicole Smith.
Okay.
And there certainly is nothing about Anna Nicole that I thought I had not seen or heard before. This will replay on VH1 because that's all they do is rerun things. Mm-hmm. I urge you to set up your TiVo because there are two separate parts you have to see. First is when some guy at a titty bar that she's worked at is describing how drunk she was and effed up she was all the time, that she would come up in her stilettos and get up on stage and fall down, and they would have to pick her back up again, and she would fall down. And it was the guy, it was the typical guy with the beard, with the salt and pepper beard and the slicky suit going, I remember very well when she was a dancer here. And she's lovely. She had great teeth. But she would get up on stage and be drunk, and she'd fall down face first, and we'd have to pick her up. But the highlight is her family being interviewed. The word hillbilly is an injustice.
To hillbillies?
Is an injustice to anyone who's ever had sex with their sister or brother. I mean, I'm talking about missing teeth.
Right.
I'm talking about, did you see the thing, Rob?
There's actually, I believe, a lot of the stuff from that special was taken from a movie they show on either the Independent Film Channel or Sundance that's all about her.
Really?
And if you can ever catch this, you will watch it and your mouth will hang wide open.
But Mike, I'm telling you, when you get home tonight and everybody out there, you got TiVo or you got just the VCR, Get Driven on VH1, Anna Nicole Smith. It will not disappoint. I'm going to TiVo it and bring it in, and just the audio of her family members speaking.
She was a good girl. I don't know.
You're going to love it.
Did it have her aunt in bed?
Yeah.
With all the prescription bottles on the. It's one of those headboards with shelves on it.
Did it appear that she's helped the family with all her riches?
No.
Or she hasn't gotten that money yet, has she?
No, a lot of them are living in trailers.
Really?
I'm not kidding. It's fantastic.
I'd like to die.
I urge you to watch it.
I'd like to die.
Hold on. Here's Ted. Ted, did you see it?
Yeah, Don, Mike. This thing was crazy. I could not believe that she is so beautiful, that Diana Nicole, but then you look at the people that she is families with.
And now listen, Buzz, I saw you make a face.
Yeah.
When they show pictures and video like of the young Anna Nicole Smith when she was working in the strip club.
She was beautiful.
She was beautiful.
Ah.
But like I said, you have to watch this for her family.
They don't have any teeth. They're so nasty looking. Backwoods of West Virginia.
Yeah, it's great.
Or I mean, Texas in her case.
It's on a par. Thank you for the call. It's on a par with American Hollow.
Oh, the American Hollow, which is fantastic.
It's those people.
And that's another reason why we should enlist the support of our listeners to make sure that the Beverly Hillbillies reality program is aired by CBS.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, this is Dave.
Yeah, hi, Dave.
I think between all the relatives that they interviewed yesterday, there may have been maybe 5 teeth.
The teeth were so bad.
Yeah, I'm not overselling this. I swear to God, I'm not overselling this.
Fantastic.
And if not for the fact that Sex and the City was on, I would have yanked my wife upstairs to say, "You have to watch this."
Anna Nicole,
VH1. The show is driven.
It's amazing that she could come from roots like that and turn into royalty.
So anyway, that's that. Watch it, and then we can discuss it.
Okay.
So. We were at the beach this weekend, and I got a couple of things from the beach. I told you my wife farted already. I just said that because I know she's listening now. Hi, baby. My wife sometimes calls.
But you said it was a cute one.
My wife will sometimes call me and give me, like, as the show's going, a critique of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And her critique today was, boy, you were really angry at that guy who wrote the letter. And I said, well, yeah. I said, but the first break was very light. And she said, well, I'm just concerned, you know, when you get angry. I said, well, you know, it happens. Then she said, well, okay, I'm just concerned. I said, well, did you hear the first break? First break was, you know, like that was the first break. This is the second break. Now the third break will be a little different. And then, you know, I hung up the phone and like I said to Mike, I'll be discussing my wife's farts when we come back.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of lighthearted, you had indicated.
Yes, very lighthearted. Right. That we were, and other stuff that, well, listen, I'll get into it.
You're making it plural. It was singular. It was one, right? Just one?
It was one. It was one fart.
And you said it was kind of a cute.
A little louder than that. Somewhere between.
Do we have an example?
No, it wasn't like that.
Right.
Wasn't like that. Wasn't like that.
No.
But it was between this and this.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it was like she just looked up and she did that girl thing where she puts her hand over her mouth and goes, could that, you know, to make that sound like, oh, could that have come from me? Oh, ooh. I never fart. So when I was sitting on the beach on Saturday in Ocean City, Of course, I saw Big Don O'Brien again.
He's kind of a neighbor of yours, isn't
he? Yeah, he is like one block away neighbor.
That's very cool.
Always great seeing Big Don from WQSR. And then I saw one of the greatest things that you can ever see on a beach. And I will say before I tell you the story so you don't think I'm a total perv, that I believe the girl in question had to be at least 19 years old.
All right, very good.
Appeared to be a college-age girl. The beach was just, I mean, wall to wall. You couldn't find an inch where there wasn't somebody laying down. And there were these girls that were laying down, and they had untied their tops.
Were you wearing your mirrored sunglasses?
Yeah. But I was close enough that it didn't really matter.
Ah.
And I'll tell you why in a second. There were three girls, and they had them tied both around the neck, you know, one of those strings up there, and then the other string around the back.
Right.
Well, one girl who was wearing a lavender floral print.
You detailed it. What type of flowers were they?
It was, the suit itself was lavender with a floral print.
Very good.
And what she did was she undid the strings on the back, and then about 10 minutes later, she undid the string around her neck. And I was just watching this, and you know how you watch girls on the...
How long would you estimate you were watching it for?
A half hour. No exaggeration, really none. That you're looking pretty much just for a peek.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I also look when women walk by. Sometimes you got a woman that's got just too much bust for the top that she's wearing.
Exactly.
And as she walks by, if you're sitting in your chair as she walks by on a lower angle, you can actually see the bottoms of her boobs
right
coming through the bathing suit.
Which is probably, in my opinion, one of the nicest parts of the boob, the bottom.
Yeah. So, anyway, these girls, they're there with what I guess are their either brothers or cousins or nephews or something. But
can't argue with that top either, though.
These three kids that appear to be about 10 years old.
Middle's nice.
And these kids are just, like, out of their mind on Sugar Pops or something, or Lucky Charms. I mean, whatever it is, these kids, they're like screaming, please give me Ritalin, because they're doing the thing with the Frisbee, and the wind is blowing 20 miles an hour, and the Frisbee's hitting people in the head. And at one point, one of these guys, and what they're doing is they're building a sandcastle. They're up about 20 yards from the water, and they're going down with this bucket and getting water and bringing it back up to build their sandcastle.
Right.
One of them comes up with a bucket of water, and I just see the kid. Now, this is with no thought from the other kids at all.
Right.
Just holds the bucket of water, and boom, all over this girl's back. Well, this girl who had both.
Like on purpose?
On purpose. This girl that had both the top and the bottom strings untied, absolutely jumped to her feet and said, "Oh, oh, oh!" And by doing that, everybody on the beach turned, and she had fantastic tans. I mean, now I only saw them for maybe 17 seconds.
You're kidding? That long?
Well, she danced around for a little bit because she was doing this thing where she was, you know how girls are,
right? So the whole top like fell off of her.
And so, well, it was not held on by anything.
So she was. It was just down there, and the water obviously was cold.
Yeah, the water was freezing. The water temperature was like 60, and it was only like 75 on the beach. And she
you
jumped.
Think somebody had maybe paid the kid.
I don't know. She jumped up and she went, oh, 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 and she jumped. She's like on a pogo stick, and the more she yelled, the more you could just see guys everywhere,
right,
turning to look and. Really nice ones.
And it took her that long to realize that she was flashing the whole beach?
Let me do a time check here, and I'll tell you. We'll start the clock right now. Kid splashes the water like this. She jumps up. She goes, oh, 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 God, I'm so wet. I'm so wet. She's talking first. Hey, oh, God. Oh, Ricky, I'm going to kill you. Ricky, I'm, oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. And then she put her hands over. No, I guess more like 12 seconds.
That's an eternity, though.
Yeah, it is.
But long enough to see everything.
And the afterwards, what was the, was she aware that she had exposed herself to the whole beach?
Yes, what she did was she laid back down on the towel with her boobs on the towel, and then it was some girl trick where they put a T-shirt on over her head and helped her arms get through, and then she got up and she wailed on this kid.
Really?
I mean,
not spanking and not punching, but somewhere between. It was really...
Wow. Smacking.
It was... I mean, he was just standing there.
Was it like a little brother or something like that?
Must have been. I didn't get the gist of exactly who it was. But it was like, you dumb you. Why could you do that? And then he started going, oh, you know, it was.
How did he go again?
Oh, he was a little kid,
right?
Oh. Little kid. That
now, did you when you analyze the whole situation? Did it appear that perhaps the kid was doing this for somebody, or was he just being a little brat?
No, and this I found out like maybe an hour later,
right?
When the kid's mom came down, when you know, big fat mom came down,
right?
And by this time I had moved.
How old would you estimate the little kid to be?
9 or 10.
9 or 10. Okay.
And by this time I've moved my chair closer because right. What I want to do is, you know, you're on the beach.
Yeah.
You want to eavesdrop.
Have the strings been tied at this point?
Yeah. Oh yeah. She's all buttoned up and
right.
And they're fine and I'm hearing, wait till your mom gets here. And he's saying, well, you hurt me. You hit me. You hit me. She said, well, of course I hit you. You threw water on me, and you knew I didn't have my top on. Then I hear the mom get down there, and then I hear the beginning with the mom. And it's different than, like, being in Walmart where you see some mom beating her kid up.
Mm-hmm.
Because this mom wasn't really, well, there was nothing physical.
The kind of moms where you want to walk over and smack the mom because they're being so mean to their kids.
Yeah, it was all verbal. It was the mom just going, the mom really is a beautiful woman who was saying, I guess she was getting her back waxed or something while this happened. I can't let you out of my sight for one effing moment, you little effing devil.
Oh, really?
Now, and then she goes, now you effing tell me, did they have anything to do with this? There are the other two the kids, and they're just petrified. He says, no. She says, you tell me the effing truth.
Using the F word that many times?
Yeah.
In front of a 9-year-old kid?
Or no ice cream. No ice cream.
No ice cream.
And the kid doesn't.
She's a lady.
Either the kid is incredibly loyal to his friends,
right?
Or he's telling the truth. And then finally, she actually grabbed him by the hair. He had a rat tail.
There you go.
You are painting the picture. She grabbed him by his rat tail.
Little rat tail.
And she brought him over and she said, "Now, what do you say to Christy?" By now, I know this is the girl's name,
right?
I'm sorry. Will you ever do this again? No. Okay, it's done. I watched the kid walk away. This is the beautiful thing about being a kid. He gets up by where you walk onto the beach, and his mom and the girls are sitting there with their aunts or whoever they are, and he's there with his two friends. Right as he's about to walk away, he turns around and he goes... he gives them the double finger. Now they can't see,
right?
And the kid doesn't have the balls to say anything, of course, because it's his mom.
Sure.
But I watched this and I just thought, kid, oh, you know, someday you're going to grow up to be in radio. Someday.
Wow.
So beautiful.
You get little scenarios like this all the time. I mean, that's your number one activity, isn't it? Doing the people watching at the
beach. My wife and I, when we go to the beach, we say, what's the show like?
What will the show like be like today?
We sit out on our deck, and all we do is watch people. And we go to the beach, and all we do is watch people.
Do you get many tens, you know, that are down there? I mean, you can...
No.
No?
No. But it's like that thing in a bar. You know, the later the day gets...
Yeah, right, right.
As it gets to be 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it looked like it's 2 or 10 o'clock. Turns out to be a 10.
There you go. 5 o'clock.
Hold on. I got a little more beach stuff. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come now, you speak as if they were a gaggle of slack-jawed yokels.
The Don and Mike Show.
Cletus, what are you beating your gums about?
They cherish most of their listeners. Don and Mike.
Right, right. Listen again tomorrow, 3 o'clock, right when the show begins. Be here at WJFK. Bring your own baked beans.
Beans!
Beans! Not bees, Mike. Beans.
Beans!
And August is Baked Beans Month, and tomorrow you eat the baked beans. There will be a guy and a girl category. You fart the best, you win $500.
In the event there's an accident, you will be beaten. I want to pass that along to everybody.
And there is another category, multi-gender, for the most original fart, most unique fart.
But not like a transsexual or something like that.
No,
multi-gender.
Well, I mean that for both.
The quality of the farts will be multifold.
Now, I know you've awarded extra credit for topless farting. Will men get extra credit for costuming themselves?
No, Rob.
Okay.
It's just
that's your own little kinks, beware.
It's just eat beans and fart.
And that is all sexual, Mike. Hello. I want to see a pirate farting.
Don and Mike.
Yes.
Go see Pirates of the Caribbean.
Can the people light their fart on fire for extra credit?
No, but if you come down here in a clown suit, Rob will get a chance to rub one out.
Yeah.
Dressed like Johnny Depp.
Right. That's
so
hot.
Oh, my God. You noticed that today I've got the full outfit on.
Yeah, you get your Packer outfit. You be excited about tonight's game?
Yeah, I've got the Packer T-shirt on, the Packer shorts, and, of course, the Lucky Packer socks.
Lucky Packer socks that you believe will catapult them.
Well,
go, Pack, go!
To another Super Bowl champion.
It don't really matter because tonight's a practice game, but I'll watch it anyway. As I watched the game Saturday night, and I'm going somewhere with this as we get into the weekend, my wife really tortured me on Saturday. I did not get up and watch it live at 5 a.m.,
right.
The Buccaneers and the Jets. But most of the day on Saturday was based around the fact that one of two things was going to happen. We had movers bringing stuff in from New York, from the New York place that we had when we had a show in New York.
Hey-ho.
We moved out of that place, and they were going to come down on Saturday. And I kept thinking, oh, I know they're going to arrive just as the game is starting. And I should have, you know, watched it on Saturday morning at 5 a.m. Well, she says to me, she said, they're not coming until Sunday. Great news, so you can watch your game tonight.
Wonderful.
I said, fantastic. And then all day she starts busting my balls because it's the easiest way to bust my balls. She said, and you're going to be amazed at the final score. And I said, how do you know the final score? And she said, I just know. Great come from behind victory.
Oh.
And I said, come on.
Well, that already has ruined it for you if she says that.
I said, you don't know. How would you find that out? She said, well, it's very easy. I could find it out anywhere. I could go to the Internet. I could call up a sports line. They played the game at 5 o'clock this morning.
Right. The game's over.
I said, well, I've watched ESPN today, and they're purposely not running the score on their bottom line thing. So then all day she's got me going with this, and finally...
Did you believe that she really had... she was aware of the score?
Well, here's how far I went with it. At one point, we were upstairs by the computer, and I said, listen, I'm tired of this. I typed in ESPN.com. I said, now, before I click go, just tell me, do you know or don't you know? She said, well, why would you want to go to the website? They'll tell you. I said, because if I go to the website, then I'll finally find out... who won the game? And I'll know if you've been busting my balls all day or not. Rob, do we have that sound?
I believe so.
Because she loved doing this to me because it really got me all day. And so finally, in this battle of the wills, she backed down and she said, I don't know.
Ah.
I really don't know. So the pressure was off and I was able to watch the game.
So she was threatening to not only... know the score, but let you know before the game started.
Yeah. So she was watching something like Gangs from New York, and I'm watching the game. And I come down at halftime, and she says, how's the game? I said, well, all the second stringers are in, but it's pretty good. It's like 13-7 Tampa Bay. She says, oh, that'll change.
Starts again.
And I said, oh, come on. Come on, you don't know. And then she said, no, you never know. So
did it change?
Yeah, Tampa ended up winning 30-14.
Oh, okay.
And she
okay.
And then after
so she indicated that you know that she thought there'd be a change, and
she had no idea. Now, in order for her to stop this ball busting, and it was as far as ball busting goes, it was minor league. It was she just played with me like it was a toy.
you know, you can get her back the next time she's lying on her stomach at the beach and she has strings undone. She'll get a bucket of water.
So. I did a couple of things. I went for a bike ride with her, which she loves. And then on Saturday, right before the game, like 7 o'clock on Saturday night, she said, I've got these loaves of stale bread, and let's go walk down by the beach. Won't it be fun? Let's go walk down by the beach, and I'll break them up into pieces and throw we can feed the seagulls. And I said, whatever. I'm fine with that.
We went down. Listen, it's not my bag.
No, it's kind of a Hitchcockian thing to do.
But also, it's you know, there are so many goddamn seagulls down there that that it's in some ways it's fun that if you throw like a French fry or something, you got 100 of them just converging on you at once,
pecking your eyes out.
It's not like the birds. No,
they're scavenger birds, Don. They're dirty birds. They're the rats of the sky.
So I'm standing down there with my wife and. She's got you know, little like Elvis on his horse. She's got the she has the plastic bags
right.
that have the hamburger rolls and the hot dog rolls that we haven't used and the bread that's not moldy but it's just too old to use.
Wouldn't matter if it was moldy, they're gulls.
And right. she starts breaking them into pieces and throwing them. And for whatever reason, 7 p.m. on Saturday night, not a friggin' seagull. We stood out there, and I know she says I exaggerate, and if she wasn't pissed at me right now, she'd call in. She's mad because I said on the air that that she said the thing. She's not mad about farting.
Oh.
No, she's mad that I said that I was being negative.
Oh, that.
She's,
well, you need at least one.
There were none.
Well, you're not going to get any if you don't have one.
Well, normally one flies by. Here's how pathetic my wife was. As she started to rip up the bread, we would say, oh, there's one. Which would be a good half mile away. She would actually, my wife's on the beach going, come here, bird! Hey, bird! And she'd rip off a piece of the bread and throw it. And there's a bird that's flying a half a mile away.
Right.
And we were out there for 20 minutes. And
they're supposed to have pretty good vision. Yeah.
She kept saying, as soon as one comes, he'll tell his friends. And then we're gonna be absolutely
inundated.
Right, with birds.
Yeah.
We were out there 20 minutes, and my wife, like a mental patient, ripping up these pieces of bread and throwing them and going, come here, birds! Birds!
Were you at least throwing them into the ocean so the fish could enjoy them?
No, that we're on the beach. On the beach. Now, and I am not exaggerating because I counted. My wife, over 20 minutes, ripped up over 100 strands of bread.
So you simply had a bread carpet on the beach?
Yeah. And I said to her at one point, I said, when she was down like to the last piece or two of bread, I said, you realize that you have thrown more than 100 hunks of bread in the air and called up these birds and none of them have shown up.
With no payoff.
And she said, I have not thrown over 100. You love to exaggerate. And then what I did was I said, okay, let's count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 14, 16, 18, 22. And when I got to 100, and I wasn't even done, I said, that's 100 that I just pointed out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stop there. There were more than 100.
Did you have anything else you could throw besides the bread?
Like what?
No, I mean like maybe pieces of meat or something, yeah. or fish. No. Because I read that many of the seagulls are doing the Atkins diet. Yeah, they want to keep their carbs down. If you're throwing bread or donuts or anything, croutons, they're not going to touch it. But if you break up a nice pork roast and throw shards of that up there, you won't even be able to move.
It was simply beyond embarrassing for her that not one bird showed up and over 100 pieces of bread littered all over. And I was trying my damnedest not to laugh.
Was the bread there the following morning?
No, when I went on the beach, the bread was gone.
See, those are worms that eat it then.
Yeah, or really hungry, drunk guys who pass out on the beach.
That's what it was.
But it was just so sad.
Or sea dogs.
My poor wife, out on the beach, just throwing this bread in the air. Come here, birds! Now, normally you're down there, you can't get rid of these goddamn things. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, not one bird.
They're scavenger birds. And so they're not going to do anything that's going to make you happy.
Here's the last thing I got from the last thing from the weekend. And this, I'm willing to hear all sides on this. The guys from New York came with the stuff from the apartment, our ill-fated New York apartment, to bring this furniture to our place at the beach. Now, this is not like U-Haul or, you know, we do it for half price. This is a place we've paid regular money to,
right.
And these are moving guys.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me where you line up on this. It's been a long time since I've moved. I used to move all the time, every 3 months when I get fired from radio jobs. Been a long time since I've moved. But the truck finally pulled up yesterday, Sunday, right, about 4 o'clock. And they had to bring in a sofa and a bed and a bunch of boxes. The apartment in New York was not really big. And at one point, I was sitting up on the deck watching the guys bring in the stuff inside.
Right.
And I noticed that my wife is out there carrying boxes in. And I said to her, I'm sitting up on the deck, and I said, yo, what are you doing? She said, I'm helping them. And I said, why? And she said, because if I do it, it'll get done faster. And it was not that I had a problem with the physical labor.
Right.
I have the problem in that I've already paid these guys to move this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm prepared, as I have every time I move, when you have real moving guys, to tip them, and tip them rather generously, because mm-hmm. they got to bring a sofa up 3 flights of stairs. Right. It's not real easy.
Yeah.
But I'll be damned.
How much? You want to jot it down? Just jot it down for me.
Each of them? Yeah, gave each of them...
No, not the tip, the whole thing that it cost you for the move. Because I'm just curious.
That's how much?
That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's actually very good.
Right, so... Mm-hmm. And I tipped each of them, incidentally, that much.
You
see that? No, take 2 zeros off.
Okay. That's very generous.
Yeah. But, you know, that's the way that I think that I do it. And she's saying to me as they're bringing the stuff up, she said, oh, these poor guys. I said, this is how these poor guys, these Russian guys, you know, Teddy KGB, this is how Teddy KGB makes his living.
Right. She said, Russians move your stuff?
I didn't hire them. She did. New York Russians.
Check the inventory.
A lot of it's
probably gone.
A lot of it was gone. She said, do you know that they have to, they drove all the way straight through, and now they have to go down to Florida. And I said, hello, McFly. Yeah, this is how guys who, like, drive trucks and stuff,
right,
this is how they make their living. So, what I ask you now, please be honest, mm-hmm. don't be in ass-kissing mode. Tell me the truth. You hire movers to move, now, this is an apartment worth of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about 30 boxes, sofa, a bed, TV, and table. You bust your ass and go out there and carry the boxes in?
Absolutely. No.
Buzz.
If I'm in a hurry, if I really needed them to speed it up, I would probably help them or maybe do it in lieu of a tip.
Rob.
I delivered furniture for 2 years, and we hated when people would try to help.
I did. I worked at a furniture store, and I did the same thing.
And it was...
Stay the F out of our way.
If we're going to screw up, we'll screw up. But chances are we know what we're doing. And if you are ready to tip them, that's all the help they want.
And Rob and I have commiserated on this before, that furniture delivery.
Great job.
The cherry gig.
Yeah, and listen, I know it's an awful job. I know it is.
No, but really, Rob's absolutely true. When I delivered it for, I'll never forget the name of the company, Porch and Patio. And we delivered a lot of patio furniture, which was lighter weight than regular sofa.
Mm-hmm.
But they also had regular sofas that they sold, too. And you don't want anybody near it. And moving guys, I still see it. They don't want
these Ruskies, they had no problem with this.
Right. Really?
And the thing is, that's making
the socialist work.
They're making me look bad because my wife's out there.
Well, she's bringing in a couple of boxes. Is that what it is?
Bringing boxes in. And what I would do is I would, you know, lead them up the stairs and say, okay, watch out. You got to turn here. You got to turn here. Okay, put the couch there. Then I would cut the stuff off and take the blankets off and bring it downstairs. But... You know, I said this to Freedom more than one time. Why are we paying them?
Mm-hmm.
And then I would get the thing. Well, but they drove all night and they got to drive all night. It's like, hello, honey. You know, this is their job.
Particularly if they had more than one load of furniture in there. You said they were going to Florida next. There's a lot of confusion, and there's probably some sort of Russian system in place.
Yes, of
where,
course.
You know, what comes off and what doesn't. And
it's the Bolshevik system.
I do remember. Stay out of the way.
They had no problem with her going down and doing it.
I bet they used red magic marker.
Failed.
That's what it was.
I'll call her.
All those boxes are marked in red with a hammer and sickle.
She told me she'd pretend to be nice to me.
That's nice.
I said, well, I want to call you on the air. She said, well, okay, I'll just pretend to be nice.
Look at this man sitting up on his deck while his wife hauls boxes in from truck.
Like an old couple.
Hello.
Hi, babe. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, you don't have to pretend to be nice to me. I already said you're mad at me.
Hey.
So, the movers yesterday, your thought was...
I just wanted it to be done, and I wasn't in their way. I didn't take stuff
off the truck. I didn't do with the big furniture. It's just they sat a bunch of boxes near the front door. When I knew where it went and I was just standing around, I would take it to the room it went to. And, it wasn't heavy, I just wanted them, you know, I do know they work hard, but we did pay them a lot. I don't know how much you told Mike because you don't know how much we paid.
Yes, I do. I wrote it down for Mike. I wrote down I saw the bill. Hello? Hello?
Bad cell phone.
Oh, there she goes.
Let's let pretty lady help unload truck while man sits up in his perch. You know something, Mark? I think I'll write letter to him about how snobby he is. That's what I'll pen that letter.
Speaking of which, the guy who wrote the letter claims to be on the telephone.
Do you know something? They would have loved that stale bread.
Hello, yeah, is this the guy that wrote the letter?
Oh, man, the cell phone's not working.
Charlie has the letter.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
There it is. Now we hear you.
Is this really the guy? How do we know this is the guy?
I wrote it just on a piece of paper, sent the paper in.
I said that on the air, though.
With three pieces of tape around the edge.
Hold on a second. I've got
the zip code to you guys.
How did you address it?
To Don Geronimo, care of WJFK.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me. Okay, keep telling me. Go ahead.
No zip code.
Correct. There is no zip code.
Uh-huh.
So why didn't you sign your name?
Because.
Because why?
I love you guys. I tried to call.
Oh, really, coward? You love us?
I tried to call in.
This is a wonderful piece of fan mail from a guy who loves us.
I know, and I love that it's...
Let me read you the part that really screams you love us, and in particular me. Bulletin, F-head. Crawl into your effing cave at home. Boy, this is the greatest fan letter I've ever received.
Do you understand that the point that we were making was Tim's response to Cameron when Tim popped in here and said, we don't have any pressure?
Hey, you guys were angry at Tim.
Yeah, because you said...
I felt bad for Tim.
Well, Tim came in and said... You know, to the gist of Tim's email, and the reason we were angry, is because he said, disc jockeys, the people on this side of the building, don't know what pressure is. That was what Tim's email is.
Tim did the attacking.
I think we were legit in being peeved at that.
Hey, no, but Tim was right. I mean, yeah, he lives under pressure, too. And the fact
No. Hold on a second.
No, wait a minute.
No, I want to answer your question. Before you start, I want to tell you that what Tim said was not that they feel pressure, too. What Tim said was that we don't know what pressure is. That is exactly a quote from his email.
And that's Mike speaking to you now, incidentally, not me.
No, I know.
Don.
I know.
So by saying that he just came in here and said, you know, we feel pressure too, that was not Tim's point of view. Tim was the aggressor when this whole thing started.
And if you bothered at all to listen to what I actually said, I did say everybody has pressure in this business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you were actually angry, and that's what I was.
Yes, I was actually angry. Like I was
genuinely pissed.
Yeah, like I was genuinely pissed when I read your letter. Whenever I see something or hear something that's so over the top, downtown dumbass, sometimes it's so ridiculous, you have to get angry. You can't laugh at everything that's stupid.
Do you not get angry when somebody attacks your work ethic?
Oh, all the time.
Well, there you go, then. End of conversation.
Oh, well, then let me say to you, boo-hoo. Let me say, boo-hoo, you oh-so-special hypocrite. Jesus, you're freaking me out, man. I thought by your letter you were just a regular guy.
Yeah. But obviously, by reading my letter, you can see how angry an individual I am.
Yo, that's the first step. Now you're being honest.
I surmised that right away.
No, you don't get it. You don't get it. I love you guys. I really do.
Hold on. Let me read this again. Bulletin, F-head. And here's another nice part about how much you love us. No one ever died wishing they were meaner to their friends and coworkers. You're still the best radio has to offer. I suppose I'll just get used to the thought of listening to a couple of snobs. Great fan letter.
So you're criticizing us being mean to Tim while you're being mean to us. Isn't that hypocritical also, sir? Isn't that a contradiction?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's my prize?
Okay, so you don't even want to argue your point, then?
Yeah, I'll argue my point. I already said you guys were genuinely angry, and the fact that
you're so stupid that you don't understand why we would be genuinely angry, not only on our behalf but on behalf of every rinky dink or major league disc jockey that you hear.
Everybody in this room reacted to one thing that Tim said, and that was, you guys don't know what pressure is. That was what was said in the email. That's what lit everybody's candle. And, you know, everybody that does what we do in this building, and everybody that
in this business,
when you're asking to help to divert their eyes, what do you expect?
Now, hold on. I believe when Mike said that, Lunkhead.
I know it was in joke. It was in jest. But still, it's the same thing. It's the same.
No. Hold on.
No, it's not. Yes, it is, because you say that you need downtime after the show, but then again, you also say that they can't approach you during the show.
No. So, not only me, it's station policy. If any salespeople want to meet with me, I get to the station 2 hours before the show every day.
I know you work hard. I get there
an hour and a half latest before the show every day.
But the point is that there are also parameters about how it's done. There's a policy that's been here for... since I've been here and been at a lot of other radio stations I've worked at, which is if a sales guy, I'm telling you something and you're not listening, okay? Everybody has a policy, and the policy is that you go through the guy whose job it is to handle requests from salespeople, which is the producer of the show.
Yeah, but blah, blah. Tim McWilliams.
Oh, blah, blah. Good response, moron.
He's the friend of the show. You guys have.
No. I got news for you. And see, this is where you don't get it. Tim is not a friend of our show. Tim is a guy who's been on the show when it serves our purpose and when it serves his purpose.
Hey, Mark, shut the F up, okay?
Tim McWilliams is a business...
How's that feel, pal?
He is a business acquaintance. He is a fellow who makes his living by selling our radio show. So it works to both of our mutual interests to have him on the air, because he can be entertaining under certain circumstances.
Exactly.
But if you're calling him a friend, then you're reading too much into it.
It's just your rage towards him. You were actually pissed off at him.
Yes, I was. But what you don't get is, like I said on the air, it's a battle that's gone on since before I got into radio. Which is more important, sales or programming? It's a battle that goes on to this day in every radio station in America.
And I got news for you. If you want to really look behind the curtain and you really want to understand what's going on. Yeah, did Don get pissed? Was he pissed at Tim? Yeah, but was he enraged at Tim? No, that's on the air. As soon as that's, and the fact is Tim came in here during the show and said, hey, are you really mad? And Don said, yeah. He said, yeah, I'm really mad. But, I mean, the fact is it was over after that.
There's mad, and then there's real mad.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get it.
Oh, I get it.
No, you don't get it.
No, you don't get it, because you know me so well.
Oh, I get it, F-head.
See, I mean, a guy like you, I think maybe you're not genuine with the letter. Maybe you wrote the letter, which is always a chance.
I tried to call...
Don't interrupt me, sir. I'm making a point here. Maybe you wrote the letter because you actually wanted to get a rise out of it. Maybe that's what you wanted to do. Obviously, you don't want to listen. You want to talk. You want to hear yourself on the radio.
No, I'm not even listening to the radio. I turn the radio down.
Well, that's right, because you're talking to us right now, moron.
Where did you get this statement about no one ever died wishing they were meaner to their friends and coworkers? Who are you speaking about?
Dude, I was just trying to get on your last nerve. This is what you've been talking about.
Dude, I don't...
It was a good letter.
Answer the question.
It's a good letter.
It's a what letter?
It's a good letter. It touched your nerve. And that's what I was trying to do.
Now, see, here's the thing. A lot of you downtown dumbassers don't get... Is that you
Williams
think?
To point out the fact that he won a book back when, I don't know, you guys had a bad rating book, and you attacked him for that.
Of course I did.
How can he say anything about selling your show when you guys are always number one? He has to reach back to that bad book.
Don't forget that Tim himself benefits from being on our show, and if you're a regular listener, you notice he hasn't been invited in.
No, but
for the last 2.5 years.
Genuinely attacked him, and I felt...
I want to ask you a question. I'm going to give you one chance to demonstrate... Hold on a second. Maybe. Shut up for a second. I want to give you one chance to demonstrate to me that you might have some chance of getting it. Don and I both looked at your letter. Don showed me the letter, and we both read it up in the office. How did we react to it?
Before the show.
Before the show.
In disbelief?
Nope.
Hold on, and I'll bring in a third witness, Charles Broyhill.
Anger?
Nope.
Wrong again.
Yeah, wrong. Well, that's two wrong answers.
But don't guess again, because eventually you'll get it. Hey, Charlie, come here.
We both reacted the same way.
And I had the same reaction to Charles.
I think I remembered being coward.
No, but come on. What did we do?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I'm sorry, no.
Well, get out of here. You're the worst witness in the world.
I know, I really don't.
We laughed at it, is the point. Rob was there when Dom was reading it, laughing to me. I read it, we laughed
Charlie,
at
I'm
it.
Never going to call you on the stand when I kill my wife. I am never. You're like the worst. OJ had better friends than you.
Sorry.
Anyway, and darling, I'm never going to kill you.
Your attorney advised you to always use the phrase, if you kill your wife, not when you kill
and
your wife.
I will not.
No, and we read that up in the office. Nobody was in there when you and I were talking about it, and we were laughing our asses.
We laughed. That's the reason we read it on the air today, is that we laughed. We laughed at you. We laughed at your stupidity, at the fact you took it so seriously.
It was fine. Right. So, I mean, if your goal was to get the letter read on the air. You succeeded admirably. I don't know whether that's true or
not. And really, all you're doing is complimenting me because I've said all along that I'm just doing an act here. And congratulations. You buy it.
Genuinely.
You buy it. Hook, line, and sinker.
That wasn't an act. You were genuine.
And you know that how?
Because I heard it in your voice. And you know that how?
You even
admitted to it.
But how do you know I wasn't lying? How do you know that right now I'm not really mad at you? How do you know that right now I'm not just playing you? You don't. You know why, Mark, with no last name? You're a listener to a radio show with a couple of hosts who you think you know, but you don't.
I don't think that at all.
Then how can you possibly judge whether I'm putting on a show or whether I'm truly mad?
Because
how can you
said you were genuinely.
Mark, I have to tell you, and this is the truth.
No.
You are wrong. If we were genuinely mad about all the things we get mad on this show, we wouldn't be able to exist.
He's yelling at
me. And Mark, if we were genuinely mad at you, we would never have read the letter. Or if we thought you had any genuine points to make.
Do you understand that, you effing moron?
You read the letter on the air. Obviously, I touched.
Oh, Mark, you know what? You know something.
Mark,
you know,
like you.
You think you are so sharp.
We have to break, and I'm going to.
Wife even called you.
What?
Your wife even called you to check and see if you were genuinely angry.
Your what?
Your wife even called.
Yeah, my wife even called. Now again, you believe everything that I do on the show, and I hate ruining it for all the other people who are listening. You even believe that about my wife.
The call that Frida's made to Don was a call when she basically gives Don an indication of how the show's going. And the call specifically was, do you think the show is too negative? Do you think the show is too negative? Not, do you think you're too angry?
And I ask my wife the question, because I look for feedback from my wife. Now,
come on, think, Mark. Try to come at us with another angle, buddy.
For the last time, to pull the curtain back, not everything you hear is true. You got to think of this show like pro wrestling, dude. I'm really flattered that you listen, and I'm really flattered that you buy everything. But you got to understand.
Were we mad about Tim saying that we don't know what pressure is? Yes. Did we want to go out and key Tim's car or stab his tires or, you know, keep it going forever with Tim?
Blah, blah, blah. It wasn't about all that. You were angry at him. And that's all I pointed it out. The guy.
No, you didn't. You wrote it. You wrote what we would call in the business.
The guy probably works very hard at his.
You know something? You wrote what I would consider to be a hate letter.
And you are judging Tim with the same very broad strokes that you're judging us. You don't know whether Tim is a hard worker or a lazy guy. You don't know if he's a nice guy or a bad guy. You couldn't pick him out of a lineup. How can you judge Tim McWilliams, much less judge us? From his appearances on our radio show, and quote, radio show, that's how you're judging?
Yeah.
Do you really think you're smart enough to be able to get inside of everybody's head on this show? You're not.
You think, yeah, really, that's an excellent question. You think you get it? You think you know exactly what we're doing?
Fine.
What?
I think I get it just fine.
Well, here, we counter with you, and we say you don't get it based on the letter you wrote to us, and then we tell you that we laughed at it, which you were totally off base.
I didn't know that writing that letter was
going
to touch a nerve.
We don't. And we don't. I have no idea, nor would I ever be able to know what your motivations were to write that letter.
Stupid back and forth.
Well, so here's the thing.
No, it's not a stupid back and forth.
For the last time, we have 4 hours a day to fill. Sometimes we get a nice hate letter like this that's all over the place that we read and laugh about, and we come in and we read it, and thank God guys like you were stupid enough to call up so we can have it out with you on the air.
And in the event that you wrote it just to touch a nerve, that's fine too. Because if there are people out there that did feel the way you felt in this letter, then it's a good chance for us to explain our position again.
But either way, the bottom line is always, when you're the person doing the show, you control it. And, my friend, your 15, well, in this case, 12 minutes are up. Goodbye forever. I'm really not mad at you. If anything, I thank you for a great segment.
Now let's give him the last word.
Goodbye, guy.
Didn't get it out.
Okay, got a break.
God, it's still my favorite part. Because really, he wanted to say goodbye, guys, and hang up. We didn't give him a chance.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Allen Line 1 is not available right now. If you haven't received your prize, hand over and kiss your ass goodbye. F off from Infinity Radio.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Allen Line 1 is not available right now. He's in the hallway picking up a penny someone had dropped. Press 1 to leave your message now.
The keynote speakers at the VM Banquet. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, we've got to do a fast break here. We had a lot of commercial-free rock there in our last break. Don't forget, tomorrow, show up here at WJFK at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Bring your own beans. Because August is Baked Bean Month.
Baked Bean Month, you bring your beans down, and then 45 minutes goes by, and then you come in here to break with.
Fart. Well, $500 for the best male fart.
Farting.
$500 for the best female fart.
Farting.
And $500 for the most, I don't want to say unusual, unique.
Original?
The most unique. The most unique. Original, any of those.
I like items. Unique if unique is what you seek.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Hey there. How about them there Packers?
Oh, tonight just, oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
2 hours and 10 minutes from now. And for exactly maybe, what, one series? The real Packers will be playing.
Wow.
Yes. How about,
Okay. Bye bye. See you later. I saw something about Mary. I get Brett Favre jokes. He'll play the first series. Amon Green will play the first series, and then I'll still watch because you know there could be retarded kids out there. As long as they got the uniforms on,
NFL football,
I'll watch it.
I know you might be making a big deal about the NFL, but I almost saw the entire Boston Red Sox infield killed yesterday, wow. And in one lightning strike, and it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Would have been the luckiest thing that ever happened to that team.
I thought you were going to say it'd been the luckiest thing that ever happened to me. Yeah. It was truly amazing to be there for that. And they, you might have seen this on the highlights. They showed this on a lot of highlight reels, but man, it was absolutely amazing. The rain was starting to pour down. Guy popped out to Nomar Garciaparra. He catches the ball, and then 3 seconds later, try to look just a little interested in this.
I know, Mike,
it's baseball.
Mike, I am.
This is a football fan.
He could not look any more bored. No, I am interested. Hold on. Who called you at the game yesterday?
You called me at the game, and you were, where's that ball busting sound? You called me at the game. Just to, incidentally, in the first inning. When the game had started.
And I only called you because it was not like a jinx thing, but you had said last week,
right,
you felt so good about the Red Sox because...
Did you enjoy talking to my friend Reggie, and do you know why he answered the phone?
He answered, he said, Mike O'Mara's phone.
Because he had one of those shorts that have the side pockets on them, and that's where he kept everything for everybody. He was the designated pack mule for all that. Like Rob has, those type of things right there.
Nice. Beautiful.
But man, to hear everybody simultaneously scream and then see the guys as though they were on in a foxhole, hit the deck, and then no umpire had to tell him that the game was going to be postponed. They did a dead run with nobody saying anything.
Did the Orioles
I've never
run?
Seen anything like this.
Did the Orioles run too, or was it just the Red Sox?
It was the Red Sox. The Red Sox were out in the field, so they had to run in.
So it was just the Red Sox that ran in.
It was the Red. There were no Orioles on the field at the time except for the batter, and he ran into the Orioles dugout too.
And give me that pussy's name, please.
It wasn't because they were. It was so. It looked like, you know, at Camden Yards, they have that big warehouse that's in back of the diamond.
Sure.
It looked like the lightning may have hit the top of the warehouse. I've never seen anything like that in my life.
I read in the Baltimore paper this morning what actually happened is Cal reached into the sky and pulled the lightning down.
Shut up.
You can do that.
Yeah, and Don called me at the beginning of the game to remind me what a great successful weekend it was for the Red Sox.
Only because you had said last week.
Yeah, and I've changed my position once again. Between the beginning of the game when Don got the real, incidentally, the lady sitting next to me, I don't think was real thrilled with the language that I was using when I was speaking with you about the quality of the team that had lost four in a row before yesterday. I was effing angry.
The thing is that Mike said to me last week, he said, we got a great stretch now. We got Texas, they suck.
Yep.
We got the Orioles, they suck. Mm-hmm. The Yankees play the A's. This is where we make our move.
Right.
So, of course, I had to call him because they lost two out of three in Texas.
Were you on the beach when you called me, incidentally?
Yeah.
I just pictured you sitting there relaxed on the beach, and there I was, just miserable.
Some guy had a radio, and I heard
bottom
of the first, and I thought, call Mike. He's at the game right now, Sunday afternoon. Mike's at the game.
You know how you're a defeatist fan is when the rain delay came, and we left at the rain delay. We didn't stay for the 2 hours that it took to finally get the game in. I was praying for the game to be canceled, because if it had been canceled, the Red Sox were leading, and they would have gotten the win, but they went on to win it legitimately anyway.
Do you want to listen to that thing? Because we can pull it up on BTS.
Oh, in the next break.
Okay.
We have to do a short break here anyway. Then I got some more radio stuff coming up. So your boys right now are behind the Yankees by how many? Four?
Three and a half games.
Three and a half.
And they're a half game in front of the Oakland A's. And
August 4th, and now?
There is potential, of course, for, it's anybody's bet right now. You never know what's going to happen. I'm not as optimistic as I was last week. You don't like to see your team lose four in a row, and I know it gives you great joy. Now you're interested. It gives you great joy.
I was interested all along.
You are interested.
I knew
in baseball
about
if the Red Sox have a plane crash or something like that.
I saw on SportsCenter, and
I follow it every day. I know you do.
I heard you tell me about the guy already getting struck by lightning.
You don't even look at the Cubs anymore, do you? You just see. You want to see if
something. No, I follow three teams: Yankees, Red Sox, A's. Every day
about the bet.
And you know what? You ask my wife.
Right.
I don't even root against you. I say one year because I feel like at least being a Packers fan, they won the Super Bowl a couple of times.
Yes.
I wish that one time in your life. You win the bet. I'm not really rooting against you.
It was in Baltimore yesterday, but two-thirds
of
the people there, have the long-suffering fans. It's just, it's amazing.
I feel bad for you and all of your ilk. I really do.
But don't, you see, because part of the magic is the losing. Do you understand this? Part of the magic is that people don't get it. They don't understand, and you're talking about negative. I mean, I have negative energy to just burn. One of my friends said, hey, man, it's easy to criticize. What?
Part of the magic is the losing?
Yes, Rob.
You should make that on a T-shirt.
I don't know what part of the magic is the losing. The magic is never getting there because you've got always something to hope for. There's something to strive for.
Would you like it if they made it?
What?
Would you make it like it if they went all the way? Because then the magic would be gone.
I would like it, but there would be a part of me that would go, well, what the hell do I do now? Because I've been doing this my entire life, and I've been doing it passionately for my entire life.
So you would be disappointed if the Red Sox won the World Series?
No, I'd be very, very confused. Because I wouldn't know how to go on. I'd probably come back, but it wouldn't be the same. It would never be the same if they won the World Series.
So you'd be happier if they never won?
No! No, don't say that, because it's impossible to feel that. Of course I want them to win. I want them to win every year. There's nothing I pay attention
to. Do you want them to win, you want them to win the year that you die? Would that be the year you'd like them to win?
I'm sure there are a lot of fans that would be, it would be a wonderful scenario, that it would be like, if I lived a good, full, long life.
An honor.
If I was in my, late 80s, early 90s, and
early 50s.
late 40s.
Early.
Let's say you're 60 years old.
Yeah.
Would you give your health?
No. No, no, no.
70?
Nope.
All right, here's a good one.
There's been a lot of progress made at the medical front, Rob.
Would you give 1 year off your life for the Red Sox to win a World Series? Serious. That's not like a Rick Dees, would you? But would you?
You know, you really know how to frame a question to put me on the spot. You know, there are a lot of Red Sox fans out there that
just
are going
to... Just answer. Would you?
No. No. I don't believe you.
Huh?
I don't believe you.
No, because, I mean, it might be a year that I need to get some stuff done.
You're 47.
Huh?
No, I'm kidding.
You know what I've probably done now? I've probably assured the fact that they won't win in my lifetime. Because of that question that you asked. It's the way I think, too.
Is that part of the magic, thinking like that?
Negatively?
Yeah.
Yes. I sat, my friend Box was sitting next to me yesterday, and he said at one point, he played competitive baseball and said to me, you know, it's easy to criticize, because all I was doing was just, like, hurling negative thoughts out there.
That's what
you do as a Red Sox
fan. And when I used to be a Cubs fan, it was the same thing.
Yep.
You love the fact that your team never wins. You love the fact that they always tease you and never quite get there.
But I want them to win. You know that. I mean, nothing makes me happier than, or makes me feel more low than this weekend when they were getting pummeled. And
you love feeling low. You love feeling low about the Red Sox.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I really do.
But I mean, I don't like feeling low.
I don't mean that.
I don't like being like that.
I'm not putting you down. I say
sometimes I go to sleep. I can't get to sleep because I'm so upset. That's not good. That doesn't feel good.
Now, listen, as a football fan, I know a lot of times my Monday is ruined if my team loses.
So I feel the same way about the Red Sox.
Okay.
I mean, I go to sleep at night, and it will ruin my night. It will literally ruin my night.
That's a guy thing. Buzz, you can agree, right? What team do you feel that way about, Buzz?
None. No team.
But see, there's part of me that, like, you know how you love the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a great diversion. It's great to invest that kind of emotion into it. And people that don't do it don't get it.
And I mean this seriously. When we were down in New Orleans, when the Packers played the Patriots,
yeah,
5 years ago,
right?
If someone would have asked me, because I was a little kid when they won the other ones,
yeah,
would you give a year off your life to guarantee the Packers would win when I was there? I swear to God, I would have said yes.
Do you know why I didn't say yes?
Why?
Because I will. You know, I will root for this team forever. I will root for this team, and, you know, every year I make the statements, this is it, this is the last year. You've heard me say this. This is the last year I get involved with it emotionally, that I make a bet on the radio, that I do this. But no, you come back year after year after year, and it's not like they're not competitive. It's not like they're not at least close enough to make it a possibility. And this year more than a lot of other years. So, I mean, it's...
We got a break. Okay. But you love the fact that they hit you. You love it. It's okay.
Well, it's just funny.
It's okay.
It's funny. And I you've certainly made calls over the years and busted my balls. I've never had one. I've never had an intra-stadium call, you know, where you caught me in the first time.
Well, like I told you, on Saturday night, I was watching the Tampa Bay Jets game, and I just happened to turn on Channel 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I see, ninth inning, 11-2, Red Sox get killed. And I hear these guys saying, so now the Orioles have taken two in a row from the highly talented Boston Red Sox. I go, oh, my God. These are games that I'm sure Mike said to me, he was sure they're going to sweep the Rangers.
Absolutely.
And sweep the Orioles.
Until that pesky Derek Lowe showed his vagina.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
They would like to become a radio and a desk jockey.
The Don and Mike Show. Even better than a titty bar. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's better than a titty bar?
Nothing.
Ask Ben Affleck. Long-suffering Red Sox fan that he is.
Oh.
Another member of your club?
I like to think of Matt Damon.
I know. It's all...
wearing the Red Sox hat. And James Taylor. Those are the two that I accept.
Today was the day, by now is the time, incidentally, about James Taylor. Carly Simon, I hope you don't have this in the news, Buzz.
No, we're reading about
this. This is such a crock of BS. That to raise money for Martha's Vineyard, which is where rich snobs live to begin with.
They need the money.
She's having an auction.
Mm-hmm.
I think the opening bid was $50,000, where she'll do a private concert in her backyard for you and your friends, Carly Simon, and she'll tell you who the song You're So Vain is actually written about. But here's the caveat. You have to sign a document that says you're not going to tell anybody.
Well, there have been theories about
and
Warren Beatty.
She says it's not Mick Jagger. She says it's not James Taylor. Maybe it's Warren Beatty. But the point is,
he'll get out.
What a jip. No. You have to sign a thing saying, you know, like notarizing everything. You promise not to tell.
Wow.
So even if it gets out.
Is she going to, like, say it on the microphone and stuff?
No. The way that it was explained to me.
Whoever bids on the private party, she'll have a private meeting with you.
It's a one-on-one, and she'll sit down and she'll say, okay, this talk is about
that's funny.
So-and-so, but don't say anything.
What does Martha's Vineyard need money for?
I don't know. Some crack center or something.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
All right.
Whatever it is.
All right.
And the concert, incidentally, is held in Carly's mouth. Her, you know, new and improved Joker products.
New and improved!
Cameron Diaz laughs at her.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, we got to keep this break short because we ran so long today and we want to get to buzz in the news. Let me just tell you something we're doing here at the station. And as always, I'm the last to know.
Oh, no.
I was asked my opinion on this about a month and a half ago, and I voted no, but, you know, my opinion matters dick around here. That we've had this guy, the voice guy, for the not Dude Walker, mm-hmm. not our guy,
right.
But the station's voice guy has been this guy. His name is David Lee. He's out of Wisconsin. We've had him for like 2.5 years since I was the program director, and I'm a little fond of him since I picked out his voice. Here he is.
Don and Mike.
Tastes like homo.
Afternoons 2 to 7 on 106.7 WJFK.
Got a good voice. Got a good radio voice.
And the 2003 Redskins season only on 106.7 WJFK. The Don and Mike Show.
Here he is, just dry.
Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
Man, you know, if I had my brain in that guy's voice, I would have been out of this room so long ago. I mean, I'd be...
Seems to be a theme today.
No. I mean, I'd be doing commercials and,
okay.
You know,
yeah.
Not...
Right.
You know,
right.
Not arguing with my wife on the radio.
I understand, Dave.
So, here's the thing. This guy, he's good. Right?
Yeah.
Everybody agrees he's good.
Amen.
But, of course, there's a change... In the top levels,
right?
There's new managers, there's new programmers, and of course, nothing that was ever here before is good enough.
Right.
They have to change.
To leave their mark.
Even though the station has just had its best ratings book in the last 4 years.
We have to fix that.
You have to change because you have to put the new stamp of approval on, and the way to put the stamp of approval on is to get rid of the voice guy that you've had, who people identify with the radio station, for a new voice guy. And I go, well, all right. You know, say lovey. Want to hear the demo for the new voice guy?
Love to.
That I just read about on allaccess.com?
Absolutely.
Here he is. His name is Zeus. And he's the guy who will be promoing our show on WJFK.
All right.
Tell me if he doesn't sound like every other guy doing this you've ever heard.
The cutting edge of rock.
And it makes us. Super hot lubrication.
Or continuous rhythm. Calgary's most listened to radio station. And Canada's number one rock station for 8 years in a row. The classic rock you love. New rock you need. DJ 92. We don't play Britney Spears. But we do it.
Yeah.
106.1. The Go.
At least 50 minutes of music this hour. The Valley's hottest country is on Q99.9.
CNBR, San Francisco, America. Number one sports station. Doing the little things that don't show up.
He's one of these guys that likes pushing his voice like this.
Yeah, I like our guy.
I mean, our guy pushes his voice too, but our guy's...
Yes. But this is one of those guys. It's like, hey, I'm cool. Because this is what we think MTV sounds like.
How are you?
The Box Score. KNBR 680, Sports Leader.
Here comes another 50-minute music hour. We're playing 50 minutes of music this hour. 92.9, the new
Eagle. Mike at Night, a shadowy flight into the dangerous world of the overnight.
Michael, look out!
Yeah, Rob?
I actually know one of the reasons he was chosen is it was revealed that actually Carly Simon wrote the song Yours
about him.
About him. Zeus.
Mike at Night, a young loner on a crusade just to stay away. 95.1 The Edge.
This is a...
It's almost over.
...functional babe lair.
Well, this is a pure dynamite.
Who is this stranger from another land?
Yeah, baby. I'm Zeus.
Chicks are helpless against its power.
Let me go back to that end real fast.
It's going to make all the difference.
No. Ciao, baby, I'm Zeus. Is that what he said at the end of the demo?
Yeah, if you hit
Ciao, baby, I'm Zeus.
There we go, you got it?
Yeah, just, yeah. Ciao, baby, I'm Zeus.
Chicks are helpless against
this. What he said, yeah.
Good choice.
Chicks are helpless against this. Okay.
Good choice.
All right, whatever. Great. Yeah, whatever.
Good choice, dude.
I like, you know, the difference.
Something wrong with this guy, though.
Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
You know what's wrong with him? I'll tell you exactly what's wrong with him. I picked it. And I'm not the program director now.
Yeah.
And I'm not the crying, you know, spilt milk here because, you know, BFD, it's their radio station, do what you like. But they're just changing because...
Just to change.
To change.
Changing to change.
And
to take credit.
Changing. The thing is, this guy...
Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
He has what this day and these days in radio you don't have. Every radio station now has a guy...
Like this, it talks like this. A guy that's got a voice like that.
Because I'm cool, and you're listening to a radio station that's cool. And
the
I'm
difference
talking
is,
to you.
You've got real testicles here.
I'm talking to you with a bit of attitude. So you know the station you're listening to is cool, because I sound like I don't care.
The other thing, if you hear that demo, really the idea of a demo, if you're a voice guy, is to show your range and what you can do. You hear one read there. If you listen to, like, Dude Walker's demo, you'll hear 20 different things that he can do with his voice. And this guy is apparently a rather one-trick pony or so.
You'll find out very soon when you hear Don and Mike tomorrow afternoon at 2 on WJFK. That's exactly
Can't we do what we've always done? Can't we keep ours?
No, we can't because it's the station guy, not our guy.
Who made that call?
Gray.
Yo, Gray.
Yo, Gray.
Time for a memo.
So anyway... And I don't have it. I've got it at home.
Well, you know why they do that? Because it's the fun part, too.
Oh, sure.
It's the fun part.
Yeah. And it's not only Cameron. It's Michael and all the other guys that have come in, and they are all like, we have to change the voice.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. Well, why would you change the voice of the station that's been identified with the station for 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just not right. Because it's not. It doesn't sound cool enough. It doesn't sound like...
We had a guy that sounded like that before the guy we got now, and now they're going to take the guy out that we had to put the other guy in.
Yeah. Mountain Dew, because you really don't care if you're driving your car and it goes upside down.
And then you catch it in the fly.
Get it in your mouth.
Right.
Levi's, if you want to go out and treat a car like it's a bucking Bronco.
Well, they'll never take my idea.
Which is?
Charles Grodin.
So anyway, you know, that's what's going on behind the scenes, and I just saw that on allaccess.com.
The program director was just listening to your show, and he asked me to give you this.
Right. You know, really doesn't matter, Hill of Beans. Right. Just remember you listen to our show on WJFK.
Please do.
It just seems that this gets the message across.
Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK FM, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
For my ears, and if not him, if you have to change, get another guy like that.
A guy with real ones.
With balls, a distinctive guy. Not one of these guys who sounds like he could be on any other station. Today's alternative rock, where we don't care what you think. Yeah. Okay. That's it. Oh, hold on. I got one more piece of tape of this guy.
Oh, okay.
One more piece of tape of Zeus.
Congratulations. This is Max Barrett Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, and you just won the CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
I love it when you do it on Mondays. I really do. It's special. It's more special on Monday when you do that.
Mike, why wait all week?
There's something funnier about it, and you can't wait to get it out there.
The Red Sox will never win the World Series, and Mike O'Mara would have it no other way.
I love it.
Oh, what's wrong with the Red Sox?
Who cares? See, I'm the guy with a voice that says I don't care.
I've got attitude.
Yes, sir.
This is Zeus for the Boston Red Sox.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
He's no Sherm Feller.
He made it up.
Buzz, yes. What is your lead story today?
Today,
Tyson's cornered. A champ from the ring is now a chump with no bling.
Ooh.
Oh, hey, man, I love it when you do that, Buzz.
Can you say it like that guy?
When you act all black.
Tyson's cornered. A champ from the ring is now a chump with no bling.
Because, why, Buzz? Because you don't
Because
care.
I don't care.
He doesn't care.
And it's all really kind of a variation of Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Lucky pod, God attitude. Chicks dig me.
Now, here's the guy. Listen to this.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
You know what that says? That says he cares. That is professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
When in Los Angeles, they dine at Vivian.
Ah.
Don and Mike.
You're goddamn right. Time for Buzz's news and comments. Buzz brought to you tonight by Veramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer.
Someone call for a doctor.
Get it at 35,000 retail locations. New double-strength Veramax Ultra. Get it now by calling 1-888-TRI-VMAX. Call now, 1-888-TRI-VMAX. I like him. He's one of my favorite homos. Elton John.
Tight.
Thanks. Tomorrow on the show, don't forget the big baked bean contest. August is Baked Bean Month. Bring your own beans. First 10 guys, first 10 gals, you come down to the WJFK studios. Be here at 3. We're going to start this in the first break tomorrow. Come down. You'll come in. Each of you will individually eat 2 cans of beans.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll wait 45 minutes. You come in and you fart. $500 for the best female fart. $500 for the best male fart. $500 for the most unique fart.
Best fart wins.
Now, here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Mike Tyson's money has been squandered. The rapist boxer has reportedly lost $300 million through lavish spending and bad advice.
Maybe you left it in some guy's rectum.
I don't know.
You leave it there, Mike?
Nah, I don't want to talk about it. It's just I don't shower much.
Why?
It's the things you see. You know, you see guys' genitals, you see guys' rectum.
So now Mike's filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Quoting his lawyer, he discovered his debts far exceed his assets. Don King got a lot of the money, but Mike spent the rest on Bentleys and Tigers and mansions and bling. He'll try to get some of the money back by suing Don King for $100 million, but he still owes his ex-wife, Monica, $6.5 million. And it won't be any easier if he has to go back to jail again, which he might. He's now fighting charges he beat up a couple of aggressive autograph hounds.
Well, I'm sure that they were asking for it.
Well,
I'm always on Iron Mike's side.
Good for you.
Absolutely. And he appreciates it.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
You know, I just hope you don't have to go to jail.
Me too. Why is that, though?
The things you see.
Like what?
You see guys' genitals, guys' rectum.
You would think.
Do we still have that tape, Rob?
Yeah, you are.
This is a point of reference.
Yeah, I don't shower much.
It's real.
I don't shower much.
I don't shower much. I probably shower, what, 3 times or 4 times a week.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Because I just hate walking, keep walking. I look at these guys' genitals, it gets me sick. I'm looking at the guys' rectum. I also see things that happen, you know, it just makes me sick. So I don't put myself in a position to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
That stands the test of time.
Mike Tyson.
That is our standard Mike Tyson tape.
It happened, guys' rectum.
Well, you would think that one team choice for Kobe Bryant would be enough, but no. He and his incredibly gorgeous wife attended the Teen Choice Award ceremony Saturday night in Los Angeles. The teens, through Teen People magazine, chose him as their favorite male athlete of the year.
Good move, teens.
Same as last year. The voters were ages 13 through 19. They gave him a trophy, a multicolored surfboard. The ceremony will air on Fox Wednesday night, the same day Kobe appears in court and on court TV. Kobe's out on $25,000 bond, but his public appearances are rare these days.
Halfway through, he stood up and he said, I made my choice.
It'll be a particularly sexed up version of the Dukes of Hazzard when they make that 1980s TV show into a movie.
Excellent.
Brad Pitt and Ashton Kutcher will play the cousins. Tommy Lee Jones will be Deputy Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Hey, that's pretty good casting.
Yeah, I like it so far.
And Britney Spears will put on the up-to-their cut-off jean shorts that are supposed to be worn by the character Daisy Duke.
Oh,
pretty good choice again.
Yeah, that worked.
Hey, where's the tape of Britney saying this is retarded?
The movie starts shooting later this year.
I like that casting. I might not like Ashton Kutcher or Kutcher or whatever it is.
Yeah. You know, I saw
the flavor of the month or what?
He's Demi's flavor of the month, or is he?
Yeah, really.
Or is he? I was reading something over the weekend where they were showing. You know, Starsky and Hutch is another one. They're remaking.
Yes,
and it's Ben Stiller and the Wilson brother with the bad nose.
Oh, really?
Perfect. And
now that's funny.
And Snoop Doggy Dog is Huggy Bear.
Now that's good too.
That looks good. Now here as great. Daisy Duke.
Don't tell me they're just sit, like letting the audience just stand out there like that. Oh my God. Okay. So let's hurry, y'all. Seriously.
See.
This is retarded.
See.
They told me they were gonna do a vamp.
See.
Oh.
See.
Oh no. What are they doing?
See.
Let me see.
See.
Oh, my band is destroyed. My group.
See.
I thought they were gonna. I know.
See?
I'm just not gonna just stand out. I thought they were gonna vamp.
See.
Okay, thanks.
See?
This is
retarded. See?
See?
But I think she'd make a great Daisy Duke, though.
I saw a recent picture of her in a magazine, and she is all grown up.
Wow. Well, I tell you something, though, Mike.
She looks incredible.
You're not going to believe this. She's not a virgin.
Oh, well, then that's it. Then I don't want her to be cast in the role.
Well, the guy who played Cooter in the TV series says having Britney play Daisy
Cooter
is ludicrous.
Cooter.
Ben Jones says...
Cooter
quote,
on Cooter.
Quoting Ben Jones, nobody's ever worn Daisy Dukes as well as Daisy Duke.
Cooter lives around here.
Yep. Yes, he does. But he's also age 61. He says he'd like to be playing Cooter in the movie.
So I think of all the guys they should bring back, you bring back Cooter. Let him play Cooter.
The former congressman lives in Sperryville.
Yes, Sperryville, Virginia.
Cooter, which is also a sometimes crudely used term for a woman's place. Say, nice Cooter.
And you know what's sort of funny is the name of his place down there is Cooter's Place.
Yes, Cooter's Place.
And they both mean vagina.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob, shock jock.
Rob, Spiewak.
You just said vagina,
Cooter.
Not the first time.
American Pie spinoff American Wedding was the biggest movie of the weekend, opening in first place with just over $34 million. Ben and J-Lo's Geely or Giggly, meanwhile, opened in seventh place with a these days embarrassing $3.5 million. It tied with the cartoon Finding Nemo. Of course, Spy Kids 3D came in second with just over $20 million. Pirates of the Caribbean was third with just over $19 million. Seabiscuit moved up a notch this week, placing fourth in its second week out. And Bad Boys 2 rounds out the top five with $12.5 million from the weekend.
Yo, it seems to me that if they had, you know, Arnold's movie is just tanked.
Yeah, down to 10th now.
It's made like 120, 140, something like that.
Major disappointment.
But it cost like, $250 million to make it. And the poor idiot put his own money into it. It seems to me that, what you got to do in this business is pick your spots. Like, you pick the slow weekend, like... This last weekend,
mm-hmm.
What were the new movies? American Pie, okay, it was good, but, You know, I mean, if you wait until there's a lull,
mm-hmm.
and then you come and you hit them with the Hollywood blockbuster.
Yeah, it's tough to do, though, isn't it? I mean, it's not all that easy to do. It requires a lot of force. And they can fool you. They can move them around and move them up or move them back.
But that's what I'm saying. You move it back. You say, oh, Jesus, okay, we've already had X-Men come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
We've already had Matrix Reloaded come out this year. We've got Bad Boys 2 coming out this year. Let's wait until, you know, Seabiscuit is gone,
right.
And then put Arnold's movie in.
I think they can move it up. I think they can probably do that.
Well, tomorrow we'll have the joy of speaking to Arnold,
okay.
Not only about Arnold's Black Book, but also about his incredible announcement that he'll be making Wednesday night on Jay Leno.
His favorite show.
Oh, by the way, he announces he won't actually be making the announcement on Leno's show, that he'll make the announcement earlier in the day, but he'll still be on Leno that night explaining his announcement.
Oh, and Leno is such a whore, he should be working for Infinity. He really should. Now,
that makes a big difference, incidentally, if he's not making the announcement
it
on
sure
Leno.
Does. Yeah.
Now, granted, that Queer Eye for the Straight Guy is, or is the Straight Eye for the Queer Guy?
Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Right. Yeah. It is the hot show right now. No doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
However, shock, guess who's going to be on the show next?
Leno?
Yeah. And he's going to have them on his show.
Right.
Hold on. Where is it? You got the USA?
Yeah.
The purple. Give me the purple USA. Because I almost threw up when I read this today. There you go.
NBC owns Bravo, and that's
right.
The network that runs the show. And
Tonight Show host Jay Leno will be the next challenge for Bravo's Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Five gay men who make over style challenge straight guys will tackle Leno, the Tonight Show band,
literally,
and the show set on August 14th and 15 episodes of...
You get the ankles, I'll get the knees.
The Tonight Show.
They might improve it.
NBC owns Bravo will air another half-hour version of Queer Eye's one-hour show after Will and Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
moving up to the big network.
I don't know. I don't get it.
Will they break his jaw?
Can you imagine?
We're going to adjust that.
Can you imagine Johnny letting five of anything come in and touch his set?
No, well, here's the thing. I don't think it's a bad idea because, first off, it is a goddamn funny show. Not Jay Leno, but the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Right.
And it is the hottest show out there right now. It's not getting monster ratings, but it's the only thing on TV that everybody's talking about. But it's Jay Leno, and he's just such a whore. That's what bothers me about it.
Well, this is Jay Leno, and they're really going to improve my look. Really excited about the opportunity to,
And the set. And maybe they'll do something about the bright colors
could
on
use
the set.
The help,
perhaps
yeah.
They'll use some fringe and taffeta to make the set look more appealing, and taffeta works, doesn't it?
And he was just such a whore, and as someone who watches Letterman all the time, I watch Letterman and think, God damn, he does such a better show, yet dumbass USA loves Jay Leno.
Well, I'll tell you right now that David Letterman would do better with some chiffon curtains.
Let's hold on. We're running until we got a break. And here I am pontificating about Jay Leno.
And put Paul Schaefer in a Teddy Roosevelt outfit.
Right?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting from the zone of uncertainty, the Don and Mike Show.
We call it the Danger Zone.
The Danger Zone.
Oh, my God. Tomorrow, August is Baked Bean Month, because that's what we Americans live for.
Amen.
These dumb months. You know, everything's like, it's also Ice Cream Month, it's also Peaches Month, it's also Handshake Month.
It's Ice Cream Month?
Yes, it is. So, tomorrow, to celebrate Baked Bean Month, we're having a baked bean eating contest. Not who can eat the most, but who can get the best farts afterwards.
After they eat the baked bean.
First 10 guys, first 10 girls, be here at WJFK, 3 o'clock. Bring your own baked beans.
Yes, and bring a healthy ass.
$500, first prize for guys, $500. First place for girls, $500 for the most unique fart. Friday on the show, we're giving away a trip for two to Phoenix to see WWE SummerSlam. Don't miss WWE SummerSlam live Sunday, August 24, pay-per-view. Call Comcast or your Cox cable system now to order. Digital customers enjoy easy ordering using your digital remote. You know, that's your fingers.
Yeah.
Iron and finger.
Mm-hmm.
So we're giving that away Friday, right? WWE Summer.
If you want.
And, Charlie, what are the Lara Croft mentions I'm supposed to do?
The ones you have there in front of you?
Don't see them. Been looking everywhere for them. I see Huey Lewis, Sex and the City, Slurpees, Meatloaf, The Wire, Blockbuster, Flamingo Kid, Summer Nights, Slurpees.
There must not be any then.
All right, well, let me just say... Lara Croft.
Now, why did you say that, Charlie?
Because he's been in one of those moods all day.
Why'd you say that? You can't say the C word.
You don't think she does?
Oh, no, I think she has great ones.
I think they're great, if you agree.
Okay.
Okay.
Don, is August Ice Cream Month?
Yes, it is.
Someone call for a doctor?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
Okay. Hi, Don. I'm Mike.
Hold on a second. Where the hell?
Wait a minute.
I lost my place here.
Get to know Charlie.
There it is.
Finally, you think your job stinks. Reuters says that in Argentina there's a grocery store
that forces its cashiers to wear diapers so they won't take bathroom breaks.
Oh, my God.
Quoting a union official in 17 years as a labor lawyer, I've never heard anything like this before.
Hello, Scott Herman. This is Michael Hughes. I've just heard on the Don and Mike show, a show I normally hate, but I've just heard a brilliant idea how we can get more out of our Infinity employees.
Fantastic. Get the blueprints right up to me.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Did you wash your ass today?
No! Oh, Buzz. No! You know, we juked you today. Sorry we ran out of time, Buzz.
No problem.
We're having too much fun.
That's right.
So, listen, oh my God, we'll see you tomorrow with a new episode, including, don't forget, be here at 3.
Yes, with your beans.
Bring your own baked beans.
That's my favorite brand, Don, if you're looking for a good B&M. B&M baked beans.
Is there really such a brand?
Oh, absolutely. I'll bring a can in for you.
Not as good as Bush.
Okay. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. It's the truth.
I believe you. All right, Rusty.
Before you go, I need you to change me.
B&M.
Suck.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.